Call the meeting to order. Yeah, I'd like to call the meeting to order and start off, excuse me, with our chaplain to say the a word of prayer for us there, please.
On behalf of the Board of Trustees, I want to thank you for all being here. It's great to see concerned citizens coming out and taking part in the township government. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. Give you thanks for this beautiful, beautiful day that you have given us to enjoy. God, we ask your hand to be on this meeting tonight, Lord. May the decisions that are presented and made by this Board of Trustees go to benefit all the citizens of Franklin Township, Lord. God, we ask you to be with the police officers, the firefighters, the road department, God, all the employees, Lord, as they strive to do their best to provide the services that the township residents expect. God, we ask you to be with our servicemen and women that are serving, Lord. It gives us the right and the privilege to gather together like this. So, Lord, we ask these things in your name, God, and believing and trusting that you will provide for us. And Lord, we give you the glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ask everyone to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Could we have a roll call?
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Don?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to dispense with the past minutes for a little later in the agenda. I want to get right into our big topic for the moment there, and it's regarding the completion. We'll have two sewer projects that are scheduled to end here quite soon, and there seem to be a lot of talk and controversy on how everything was going to work.
Don?
You got chairs.
See if we can find a couple more chairs there, Jim, if you could.
Thought you'd have to buy a ticket.
You didn't get yours?
Sheesh.
Been a hot topic. Around here.
Okay.
I'm going to have you slide me. Bring it all the way over.
And I think while everybody is getting kind of settled down there and everything, I'd like to bring up some of you have met Mr. Mazzoli before. He's the director of Franklin County Public Health. And maybe we could call him up and let him spend about 10 or 15 minutes. Or as much as you need there, maybe 10 or so. I'd like to try to wrap all of our discussion up with this particular item within an hour or so, because we do have a regular meeting after this is over. So I'd like everybody to, you know, be patient and to be respectful of others, because some issues may get a little contentious sometimes, and if we can keep everything under control, we can better control everyone's time and try to get out of here by 10 o'clock or so. Yeah. So if Mr. Mazzoli would be so kind as to come forth and maybe give the residents some of their... I think I counted your gentlemen, 1, 2, 3, 4... 5, 6, there's about 7 residents here that are involved in the or in the new sewer zone. So If you'd be so kind, just go ahead and start off. 5 o'clock, a good place for you to stand, right there.
Okay.
You can run into the police office if you need to.
Just keep backing up.
Well, I appreciate the invitation. Yes, I'm extremely happy to be here and meet with all the residents. And, you know, for us at the health department, we certainly are focused on making resources available for homeowners as their septic systems are failing and or connecting to the sanitary sewer. I know that we're working with the Economic Development Department and administering some funds to make that happen, particularly in Eureka Park. So I brought some, you know, some specifics with me this evening to try and answer any questions. I've been health commissioner now for 7 months, so I'm not intricately involved with the project. I'm certainly familiar with it, and I'd be happy to try to take any questions. I know our partners at the county that are maybe a little bit more involved, particularly on the sanitary sewer side. But certainly, be happy to try and answer any questions that you might have. Okay. I know that we have had 14 homeowners are receiving, will receive some direct assistance to connect to sanitary sewer in Eureka Park, and that there are funds still available for that project. Okay. So that's my kind of my high level understanding of where we are with that particular project. And you know, for us, we definitely want to make sure that the resources that are available get to the homeowners who are eligible, and make that as efficient as possible. So.
And my understanding is that your staff is going to be here next Thursday at, I think they had asked to schedule.
They are going to be here next Thursday. Okay. Yes.
4 to 7.
4 to 7 p.m.
Yes, they are.
So any residents that are here that have questions, you know, if you want to come down and attend that meeting, it will give you a total insight of the way the thing's going to work. So that's the 31st at between 4 and 7 p.m. I don't think you have to stay the whole time, but it might be helpful if some residents want to kind of listen in and see how the system works. And now, you also will be sending out packets and so forth once everything is signed off. Is that correct? Or should I ask Mr. Renner about that, how that's going to work?
Packets, I'm sorry.
To the residents that are affected, there's two other projects that are nearing completion.
So I might defer to Mr. Venner on that. I'll speak to him with that yet.
Okay.
Certainly for the Eureka Park project, I brought a copy of the application with me.
Okay.
And background information and contact information for our office if you'd like to inquire as to if a homeowner is eligible for assistance. Okay. To make that connection there. And again, I'm happy to try to answer any other questions that you might have.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you. Does any one of the residents have any quick question for Mr. Mazzoli, or you want to hold that for a little bit?
Can I get a copy of that assistance packet in case somebody does need it? Please?
I was going to leave that here.
Thank you.
Yes. You have any questions for him or any at this time? Okay, well, thank you very much. And if you want to go home, you can go.
No, I'm going to stay.
Okay. Good deal.
He got his ticket. He stayed.
Well,
the meeting's always been singing if it's not sewers.
Well, I know.
Always.
I met Mr. Renner, Stephen Renner. Most of you probably have heard his name. I've met him several times, but he brought along some gentlemen here that I haven't met before. I did have the pleasure of Mr. Solis back there at the door. Stephen, if you would, maybe just introduce who came with you, or they can introduce themselves. I guess they can talk there. You know.
Also from the prosecutor's office is Harold Anderson.
Okay.
And then my boss, Eric Janis, is in the back. Yeah, so thank you for the invite. I was asked to come down here and talk about the Money Back to Brown Road projects. So the retrofication, the construction phase of the retrofication project is actually nearing its end. We have a couple of sort of big ticket items to take care of. There is a pump station on the Brown Road section. We have to go through, we have to complete it, then we have to go through startup sequence and make sure everything is okay. And there are a couple of streets that still need to be repaved, both in running money back in the Brown Road area. But those we actually expect to have done probably by the end of September. Then we'll be able to move into the connection phase. To speak about that right now, I can tell you that this is a monumental task. If you remember the public meetings that I held on these projects, it's about 600 sewer connections total for both projects. So we're talking about a very huge administrative feat in order to sequence everybody in a logical way to actually get the connections going. So the connection phase is going to have two parts, like it always has, like with the Eureka Park or any of our others. If you don't want to wait for assistance when we say, okay, it's time to connect, you can go ahead and connect, and you'll be you can contact our office on how to do that. You know, by getting selecting your contractor and then getting a permit and connect. The other path for assistance. We're working internally with the county to string everything together, if you will, because like I said, it is a very large administrative task, and we're trying to figure out what the sequence is going to be. The news that I can tell you for sure is there's going to be money for assistance, but I don't have those details with me today, but we will be publishing those shortly. Sometime in the fall. Okay. Any questions about that?
Okay. Well, any questions?
You know, I would always ask something. As we get into the connection phase, and say, you know, I go on my own and I decide I want to hire someone, go through the channels that I'm supposed to, get my permits, how does that connection work? Like, I'm ready to connect in. You guys check and inspect it, but say all of my surrounding neighbors aren't ready yet. Do I still wait?
No.
Or how does that, I mean, I just want to wrap my head around.
Right.
If I'm ready to go and I'm all tapped in, do I have to wait for everybody else?
Because
it's running down a line, so I don't know how that works.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
So the sewer main that we built is the public main. It's the main pipe, right? And so when we, and it is already in the money back area, it's already passed the inspection and tested. So we're just waiting, like I said, for a couple of other things. Mm-hmm. When you're ready, you can connect. You don't have to wait for your neighbors. You don't have to wait for anything. You just go through the normal process of getting a, you know, selecting a contractor.
Yeah, doing the process that's required. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure, because I can see some of our folks holding out, you know, to the last minute.
I understand.
And I thought, I've waited enough time. You know, I'm ready to go.
Right.
And I didn't know if there would be another waiting phase after that. So thank you.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
She's a resident as well here. So.
We have our septic tank. We have no problems. Why do we have to tie in? I mean, ours is working perfectly fine. We have had no problems.
Right.
No surface water coming up or nothing. And it.
Department of Health question, I think.
Oh. Why? Why do we have to tie in and suck everything out, put sand in, and crush it? Why? When it's working perfectly fine.
So the state passed new rules back in 2015, which require that connection if you're within a certain distance within the sewer connection.
200 feet.
I think it is 200 feet. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's the state law and the state rule. So that's a requirement that we are required to enforce.
Hmm. Okay, thank you.
Any other resident have any other questions? Okay. Well, having you sound like you did a pretty good job there. Yeah. Does any of your other folks want to speak on anything, Mr. Renner?
I'll speak briefly, Eric Janis.
Okay.
I'm the Deputy County Administrator for the Board of Commissioners.
Yes, sir.
Just want to reiterate the commissioner's commitment to making the funding available for those that qualify on an income-based level. You know, as Stephen mentioned, because of the size and the scope of this project, unlike in the past when we worked with our partners over in public health that have helped us administer the program, We're going to need to do this on a large scale because we anticipate a lot of applications, and we would encourage you to apply if you think you might be eligible. But we've got to work through the administrative process, and it'll take us another several weeks to do that. We've already met once or twice to figure out how we're going to handle the volume, how we're going to prepare for those applications. But the commissioners have committed to putting on their dollars in order to help those that need the income eligibility.
Are you one of the new administrators, sir? I knew Don Brown really well.
Don Brown hired me, so I've been around.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah, so I've been around for about 7 years as a deputy.
And what was your name again?
Eric Janis.
Harris?
Eric Janis.
Oh, Eric.
K-A-N-A-S, okay. And I'm a deputy county board of trustees. I've been with the county for about 7 years. So I just wanted to make sure you all heard that message loud and clear.
Okay.
It'll take us a little bit more time to work through the process to figure out, as Stephen wraps up his work,
okay,
to figure out how we all can manage your applications, sequence them, and make sure we have the contractors ready to do the work. And we're going to do that as expeditiously but carefully as we can. And then we will get
the business. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Is any of the other county folks, Mr. Solis, you have anything to add or anything?
Nothing on this topic, sir.
Okay.
I
was going to get to it. Anyway, one of the reasons Trustee Fleshman had some concerns, and maybe now that you've heard from everybody, you can go ahead with your concerns and so forth there.
On today's docket, we have paperwork to file, if the board so deems necessary, to sue the Franklin County Engineers Department for records request. In almost 2 years, I have sent 18 records requests to be able to see the project, the scope of the project, and the funding of the project. And I've also talked with Mr. Renner. We got a shotgun stuff of something that didn't pertain at all. We also sent these to the county commissioners. We sent them to everyone that we can think of to send it to, and it just went ignored. You're shaking your head no that it was ignored?
It was not. We responded to your public records request.
Do you know anything of this?
And then in addition to that,
what we received was from Mr. Renner's office, and you've gotten that. Now, whether or not there are...
And then we sent another request back from our attorney saying, this isn't what we're asking for. Specifically what we were wanted, and I'll get to exactly what we're looking at. And what I've asked several times, and I point blank, why am I asking it? What am I trying to see? The point that we're trying to find out is there's approximately a $3,800 tap fee. This project, we wanted to see the funding. And we asked to see all grants, loans, everything that pertaining to that. And what was sent over was not even that close to that. By a resident that happens to be here, happened to say, John, as I'm working on this, did you realize that they got a MORPC grant for $17.5 million for this grant? I said, no, because that's the stuff that I've been asking for. So I was able to get a copy of that. I was able to see where you did get a loan. Then it was 0% interest. Then it was paid off, $17,000-something. Then you also had the stimulus money that the Columbus Dispatch wrote on. And let's see if I have that real quick. It says the county is picking up the half of the $17.5 million sewer for what the cost was. And this was back in 7, 10 of 11, when originally the sewers were coming back. What we're trying to find out is the cost, if you look at the cost that you're looking at, 600 taps times $2,800, $3,800 comes to $2,280. What we want to find out is how do you justify charging a capacity fee, charging a tap fee, call it what you want to call it, when a lot of this money was paid with government funding that all of us pay, Is this double dipping? We have no clue. We have not got anything that we asked for. In a case I asked wrong, I had our attorneys ask and ask again. So I'm asking the board here, when we get to it, that we file suit in order to get the records that we requested so that we can see for the township and the residents, is this tap fee double dipping or is it necessary? Especially when it goes to the tune of $2,280,000.
Does anyone have any comment or anything on that?
Well, I'll defer to our colleagues on this in terms of, can we talk about the responsiveness from the public records request point of view first? And it's my understanding that we've been completely responsive. In fact, ultimately then, and communicated this with you several times, sir.
No.
And then also shared with you the entire file. So I guess Harold or Nick, can I ask you to respond in terms of standard, in terms of public records request, please?
Yes, sir. At this point, you have every piece of paper related to this project. There are no loans, or there are no grants. The county issued a series of bonds, Build America bonds. I believe those were redeemed a couple of years ago, but we've given you all the bond transcripts. We've made the offer that you can actually go look at the bound volumes, which are housed at Bricker and Eckler, who was, I believe, the bond counsel when those BABs were issued. There are no grants involved in the project.
Okay. There was no MORPC?
There was no MORPC.
You want to take a look at the signatures here? I even got Mr. Renner's signature. Right here is the actual grant application on 9-2-10 that was signed. It actually shows the pictures.
Mr. Fleshman, MORPC is the administrator for the Ohio Public Works Commission.
Okay.
So that's most likely, I don't know what records that you're referring to.
I'll be more than let you take a look if you want to look. I mean, I've got it right here. This is the whole application that was put in. The amount of money. Am I correct on this, Don?
I've not seen it.
Pete, did you review this when I sent it over?
I mean, his signature's on it, but whether it relates to this project or not,
it says it relates to the project. For instance, basically has the complete breakdown right here on it, and it's got the stamp, the seal of Ohio. It basically gives the whole thing in. I'll slide this over to you, Pete. Let you take a look.
Well, I mean, you're really here to make a judgment on this tonight, or what?
Well, that's not up to me.
It's up to us to make a judgment to be able to see for the public sitting out here to see, well, exactly every penny and why is it deemed necessary to have a tap fee or a, they're calling it a capacity fee.
I think ultimately what Trustee Fleshman is saying is, you know, is this project out of the ordinary, or why are the residents being charged
$3,800? Is the tap fee $3,800? Am I correct or close? Or
because ultimately not the public, it's not the records aspect of it. It's the information,
right,
to try to figure out to justify the $3,800.
Tap fees are charged across the board to every customer that taps into the Franklin County system. With each, for instance, the Eureka Park project that Director Mazzola just talked about, all of those residents had to pay a tap fee. It's a project that is exactly the same as
and
the Brown
And we've been asking for this information.
And you have, sir, you've been given every scrap of paper that
I've not been given
has.
Anything. The only email I got from Mr. Renner was, no such information unless
we received the documents. Now, whether or not they didn't give us something, I mean, I don't know what it...
Well, that's all...
I can't tell whether they've given us everything, but we've made requests for documents.
Right. If I could interrupt, and it is the decision of the board. I've known Harold for God knows how many years, and I go back further than I want to remember. And they've always been straight with me, always. And Harold has said, I've given you everything.
Right.
And told me that on the phone. He's made the offer to meet with them and go through things that if anything is missing. And I can pretty much tell you, my memory goes back to around 1980, as far back in Perry Township, when Brookside Estates had their sewer. And I'm unaware of any county project on sewer, and it goes up as recently as this project in Norwich Township, or
Mifflin
Township has the same sort of thing going on. And my memory is the county has always charged a tap fee and has always tried to provide an income-based relief, if available.
Mr. Brushes, may I add to that briefly? I'm sorry to interrupt, but historically we have used community development block grant models to administer that program.
Right.
In recognition of the size of this project and the decreasing amount of federal dollars that are coming our way through CDBG, the commissioners have committed not only to fund this, but to fund this through general fund dollars, given the size and scope of the project. So they're putting their own money in. So that is, in my mind, speaks to the level of commitment that my board has made to the residents of this community to assist them if they meet those eligibility requirements.
I didn't know you were using general fund monies.
And this is what I wanted to be able to see. And I know you're going to say we shared it. As far as anything coming to the township that was sent here, the only thing that we got was the USB drive that had kind of a bunch of
drawings.
It didn't have exactly what we were looking for. So we ask again, and we ask again. Now, I just wanted to be able to, can I see that? To give you an example. October 15th, letter to Stephen Renner. October 15th, letter to O'Grady. November 10th, letter to Stephen Renner. November 10th, letter to O'Grady. November, that was November 5th, 2015, I apologize. November 10th, 2015. November 10th, 2015, letter to Stephen Renner. November 2015, letter to O'Grady. January 16th. Revised letter to Franklin County Health Department. January 2016, revised letter to Stephen Renner. February 2016, revised letter to County Sewer and Sanitary Sewers. February 2016, revised letter to O'Grady. March 2016, letter to Stephen Renner. March 2016, letter to County Commissioners. And April 2016, letter to County Commissioners. April 2016, letter to Stephen Renner. May 2016, letter to County Commissioners. May 2016, but you get the point, and it goes all the way down through right. April of...
Now, one thing that I just want to clarify, when we say we, it's not we, it's not me.
It should be.
It's big the board. Pardon.
Should be.
Well, I just
that's
want
right.
no,
that's
I want
right.
to clarify
because
that.
You're not covered.
And yeah. the reason that I want to clarify that, that this is your own tax dollars that are paying for all these requests. Yes, ma'am.
It's all pocket money. It's paying for all this.
Yes, it is.
And everybody.
Now, and I don't know if Mr. Cook was aware. I mean, I have heard about all these letters, but I did personally not know about all these letters.
By the way, I didn't write all those letters. Those were letters sent by
Melissa.
By Melissa, the former staff.
Okay.
They weren't sent by me, so.
Okay. Point being, anytime, you know, these are our township attorneys, Pete Greggs and Don Brovius, which I think a lot of you have seen before. I don't know, do you have any comment, Mr. Cook, on anything there? How much did you know?
This started back before John became a trustee. And as soon as he became a trustee, he contacted the township attorneys and started what he's got. Now, I have no idea what he's doing. I have not been informed on any of these letters or any part of it.
That's a bad story, just like TV.
I mean, I've heard of the letters, but I, you know, I just don't know what they entail. I do know this for the residents, that whenever that we handle our attorneys, we have to pay them. And it's, you know, it's usually a fairly substantial amount of money.
If I may, and because I don't want to turn this into an argument.
No, I'm not arguing. I just want to point out all the facts of the matter.
Right, and that's what I want to make one fact, because we have all the people sitting here. And I think they've heard me for 2 years give an update of what was going on, when the letters went out, what the letters, nothing in return. So, Mr. Cook, you were aware because you come to these meetings. Everyone in the audience, who, did you guys not? I mean, I see people that see this.
For the record, which is part of the thumb drive that we responded, we did respond. My office responded multiple times to these requests and provided the records that were asked for. Mr. Fleshman has quoted me as saying in one of those letters that no record exists, and that is fact. To his question, and in my opinion, there's two issues going on here. We responded to public records. His question about are there records that exist that talk to the central about federal dollars and the use of the tap fees, there is no record that speaks to that. So we will keep saying there no record exists. But we did respond multiple times to your requests.
The only two, I only got two responses from you. One, I have it in an email, and you said that would end your record request because there was none. I got one phone call from you, and then the attorneys got contacted. That was it. And then we continue to send. The whole point that we were trying to see for the residents is basically the cost of this project, where the monies are coming from to pay for it, how much were federal monies, and how much was the county kicking in. Is that simple?
And I think that information was available, am I correct?
I've never seen that. Did you ever receive it?
Like I said, what they sent is what you have.
And that wasn't in it? And then, you know,
I
checked.
There's no, I mean. Go ahead, Harold. Go.
I mean, the money that was spent is shown in the construction contracts that were given to you.
Right.
They're on that thumb drive. That's
right.
The money that was spent.
That's the record that exists.
And
right.
And we gave you the transcripts from the BABs that were issued. I believe we gave the transcripts from the redemption that was done on those BABs in 2013 or 2014. So you have every piece of paper relative to this. And we gave the rectification contracts, which show the amount of money that's going into the rectification project that is just now finishing up. There are no other records to give you.
I think this conversation probably should have happened sooner rather than later.
Probably.
And we made that offer multiple times.
It may be that the records that were sent were responsive to the request. The problem is it needs interpretation and explanation.
That
when you respond to a public records request, there's no obligation for a responder to provide you with explanations or to give you it in a format that you'd like to see. It's your, it's, how do we say that? It may be simply we got a failure to communicate.
And I will agree because, and I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus,
but
of this discussion I think we should have had clear, because I know when I talked to you, you said, John, let's hold off, let me talk to Harold Anderson again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think your comment was, before you do anything, talk to us. And I think from what I'm hearing with both of you guys in the room, there's information that I'm hearing for the first time. That information was sent to you guys, but I wasn't...
No, you have everything. You have everything.
What we're hearing for the first time really is the explanation.
Is there interpretation and explanation?
There's no new documents that were sent.
Carol mentioned earlier, we have offered to sit down and walk through those documents.
And I would have been helping to welcome that, but I didn't... You know, I'm not trying to throw anyone. I will say that it sounds as if not everything was getting where it should have been. Now, with Mr. Renner, if he would have sent me an email saying, hey, I'd like to sit down, I would have been down there. When's good for you?
Absolutely. You communicated multiple times.
I've only had one email from him.
Have you not talked to Chris Long, my colleague?
Well, I talked to Chris this week. But she has no other information, and when I talk to Chris, I've talked to her twice. And when I talk to Chris, I ask her a year ago to say, can you talk to someone and get this information?
You have all of our information. There's no more to give. That's point number one. Point number two, we have offered to sit down with you and help you.
I've never had an invitation. I've never had a personal invitation to sit down with anyone. I would have been more than welcome to take that. I would have sat down with you guys and said, explain it to me so I can explain it to the audience.
Well, that personal stance. If you want to sit down and have a...
We can do that. I would welcome that.
Would that be a fair thing?
I would... You tell me when, where, if you want to do it here.
Well,
we can talk this out.
We certainly can't solve everything.
Well, I'm not... You know, I mean, it's he said, she said is what we're getting to.
I want to explain to the residents here. So you don't think that I'm a bad guy or somebody else is a bad guy. I have participated and been around, as I've spoken with a couple of you, sewer projects for a good long while. I have never, ever seen anyone tap to anything without having to pay for it, period.
Without having what?
To a fee. You have to pay for the
tap fees
and all that, yeah.
And the 38,
ever.
Roughly $100.
And
ever.
Care too.
And I don't know. I'm sure.
Trash.
I'm sure Attorney Anderson has seen a lot more of it than maybe even Stephen Renner has. You know, he and I have been around a while. But I have, ladies and gentlemen, I have never seen anyone tap into anything. And that's why I say, I want to make sure that you folks have good and proper information and to get yourself prepared financially for it, because to carry on, you know, it could end up in reality causing you money down the road. If you don't get prepared, you don't tap in on a timely basis, Mr. Mazzoli's folks have to come to you in a year after the fact, and then, you know, you could really end up paying assessments and fines and that kind of thing. And they are there, aren't they,
I don't think
Mazzoli?
Anyone's not wanting to tap in at all. I think
we're not trusting anything
yeah,
right.
anymore.
The problem, you know, what I'm
in
saying
this world
is,
today, right. we trust nothing
right.
until. So that's why, John, it's
right.
very important.
Right.
Communication's very important.
Yep. Yep.
We're paying these lawyers big
yep.
money,
yep.
and
right.
we get nothing right. in return.
Absolutely.
We get documents that aren't even binding.
Exactly.
That's ridiculous.
And I don't disagree.
Somebody needs to speak
I don't
up.
I don't disagree with it at all, and I'm not trying to mm-hmm. belittle or put anybody down. It's just the real facts.
The real facts are we're getting screwed. Hillary here and
well,
all this crap everywhere.
Well,
Band-Aid
yeah.
for trash.
Well,
and
Joyce, the reality is, I mean, seriously,
yeah.
we can't.
We're just
I mean,
not trusting.
I can't do anything about it.
Communication helps.
Yeah.
John is very willing. I know John very
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
And he is one to sit down, take his time,
yeah.
every bit of time it needs,
yeah.
to discuss something.
Yeah.
And that's all I wanted.
That's right. And
that's
he
right.
will do that.
And but
I,
can I mean, can
other
it,
people don't want to do that.
Yeah. But can it happen or can't it happen?
I say it can happen. They just said it would happen. We'll sit down and talk. And then I'll be able to bring back...
Is that what you meant, Mr. Anderson, that it will happen?
We have made that offer multiple times.
No, no, no. I mean, will they not have to pay a tap fee?
No, they will, is what he's saying.
They will have to pay a tap fee.
Okay.
And as Director Renner...
I don't want any misconceptions on anything here.
And as Director Renner and Deputy County Administrator Janice indicated, the county is looking actually at one of the largest programs that it has ever tried to implement, to provide tap fees right. to those that are eligible by income.
Absolutely.
But I did sewer work for the city of Columbus at the start of my career 25 years ago, and I've done sewer work the entire 25 years of my career. Everybody that taps into a system pays a tap fee. You're buying into the system. That's your buy-in to not just the pipe.
No, you're forced. That's the difference.
Well, and I'm not going to argue that. That's not our fault. That's your state legislature. Right. But when you tap, you're not just paying for the pipe in the street. You're paying for all the pipes that lead to the treatment work, for the treatment work that takes the sewage and makes it into water. So the system is an expensive piece of infrastructure. And it's unfortunate that I get that you don't want to be. I grew up in the country in Seneca County. We had a septic system. So I fully understand that and respect that. That's not our fault. That's the state legislature that enacts those laws.
Okay, we're not saying it's your fault until we get that committee.
See, the other thing is, what we were trying to do is get information. Even Kevin Boyce came and said, where I'm on tape, I will look into this. I will get back with you.
Well, Kevin has got his two representatives back here in the audience.
But
tonight.
We never heard back after that. I mean, I never got a phone call.
We're here on his behalf right now.
I'm sorry?
We're here on his behalf right now.
Okay, I understand. But I'm just saying, all I wanted is to be able to sit down and talk to someone to be able to look at this and say, how is this fair? I've heard tonight what you're saying, and I do.
Did get back with you. Did
no.
They did not?
No, I got one call. And they said they'd get back with me, and then that was it, and I never heard anything. And then every meeting, I update everybody who I talked to, who I didn't talk to, what went out, what didn't go out. So somewhere along the line, there's a communications broke down.
Well, I think we need, to move on here. And I want you to understand, Joyce, my perception of the truth is exactly my experience.
Yeah, I'm not saying that, John has been on it, and it's been very
slow. No, I understand that. And
that somebody needs to take the time out. I
know.
This all the time. The world has.
Let me tell you.
We need communication.
I have taken the time.
And we trust. We
right.
have lost trust.
Right.
Look at the casino crap, and we pay these
lawyers.
All this money, the fireman tells me, we got a document, but it's
totally
not binding.
Agree.
Is that correct?
Now, let me tell you.
Is that correct?
That I have taken the time, even before I was a trustee or anything, I have participated in every stinking sewer project that's in and around this area. And I think that man right there will tell you that I've been around him. Pure and simple.
Well, my father-in-law in Jackson County
exactly.
put a water line in and ran it.
Right.
I know about
right.
water lines.
Right, right.
$50 fee.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If you went later, $350.
Right. Yeah. Well, they're substantially even
though.
Few
older. Years back.
Yeah, there's some areas are substantially more than that, as we speak. Well, anyway, we do need to get moving on. Is there anything else that we want to try to deal with?
Set that meeting up now?
Yeah, what do you tell? I tell you what, if we can all email or get together. Don, you want
to? Who's the contact person?
Me.
Okay.
People will arrange the meeting.
I will. Harold. I will discuss it with Harold, and we'll go from there.
And absolutely. And I will absolutely make sure that you folks get everything that we've got as we speak here. Do they have to pay a tap fee or not, Mr. Andrews?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to defer that one.
We know that.
To my client.
We know that.
No one,
but the answer is yes.
No one has ever said that.
So I don't want any of you walking out of here tonight thinking that your cost will be zero. You get my point?
We know that, Ralph.
Okay.
Yeah. We know that.
I know.
We've always known
that. And I'm the same way. Now, I don't know what exactly it's trying to be achieved, but,
I know what's trying to be. We just don't trust anything.
Oh, I understand.
And I need that trust.
I totally understand that. Okay.
Really bad on that.
Okay.
I've got one question.
Okay. You go.
All this money. You say will there be a tap fee? Yes, we know there'll be a tap fee.
Right.
But is $3,500 going to be the tap, 38, whatever it is up in there?
I don't know. I mean, and I think it all depends on a lot of circumstances, right, that I understand.
Now, my question is the deduction, because of my salary, going to reduce the tap fee, or is it going to reduce something else? Do I have $3,500 to pay a tap fee? Probably not, because I don't make that much money. And is that where it's going to be reduced at? Or is it going to be reduced from, am I going to get some kind of grant or something that's going to help reduce the figure so I don't have to pay out $10,000 to hook up to the damn sewer?
Yeah.
Or am I going to pay less?
Jim, I think all of the details are still trying to be worked out on that. And what will happen is Mr. Mazzoli, you know, his department, they will flat answer any and every question you have. Believe me, I've been to these meetings.
You'll be able to fill
and what
out
they
a
do is they come in with a full-fledged staff of some 15 or more people.
They'll give me aid to reduce
that's right.
That
I think so.
Okay. Is that going to be reduced?
I think Mr. Renner can probably answer that they're going to send out to everybody, resident, and you fill out an application, and if you fall into that group, you can put it on your taxes, and it will get decreased by 10% every year. You do not have to pay on that lien during the year. You can if you want to, but if you don't pay on it, it will stay there and reduce 10% every year. Am I correct?
Yes, sir. The mechanics, that's, oh, from high level, yes, sir. So there are multiple questions here, and I definitely wanted to address them. One is the tap fee, the capacity fee that we keep talking about. It has been the same for 10 years, and it's, from what I understand with the City of Columbus, because it's based on their fee structure, it's not changing anytime soon.
Okay.
So, and as it was already pointed out, it's roughly $3,800. I don't remember the exact breakdown, and I apologize.
I've got 33. I don't know if this was from the last meeting. It said 3,348 for capacity fee.
Okay, so that's going to be my fixed.
I don't know.
There's a meter fee in there. There's a permit fee. Yeah. But what I wanted to, so that's not changing. And so the program that we've always been running does not reduce that fee. It is like Trustee Cook had pointed out. It is the program, if you qualify, takes that and put it on the tax duplicate of your parcel. And so therefore, it is a no interest loan. It's there for 10 years, and it does reduce by 10% every year.
Isn't that as long as
you
live in
the home? It is a, you have to, if the property transfers, it sells or anything like that, then the balance do have to be paid at that transfer. Mm-hmm. But that is, from a high level, that is the nuts and bolts of the program.
Okay.
But not everyone can do that.
That's right.
It necessarily doesn't surprise anybody. What happens is there will be three documents. There's a mortgage note that basically says what Director Renner said. There's a promissory note that says what he said. And then there's a contract between the homeowner, the county, and whoever the contractor on the project is. And so whatever that person qualifies for, that number floats. And sometimes when you do these projects, there are more costs because you discover maybe the vault wasn't exactly where you thought it was, or we have to do the connection into the house in a different place.
And
then
that's the variable.
And so that can increase the actual cost. That doesn't increase unless you sell the house. That doesn't increase your ultimate out-of-pocket cost because it still reduces at 10% per year while you own the home.
If I may, like for them, There is a line that runs right at their backyard. Are they able to just go straight out the back so they don't have to come all the way around to the front? Because it all ties in then again on Macklem.
That's right.
I'm not qualified to know the property, but the sewer was designed to have the shortest point to the house.
Right.
So,
well, there is one. There's a city one because
we said that at multiple times at the public meetings that we have talked to the city of Columbus and they are allowing us to use their lines to tap in. If that's closer than ours, so be it.
So you may end up with a fairly reasonable line.
It's a shorter distance to go out the back of the property for them and go to the back fence, and there's a line there, and both of them run east and west. And when you go down our street and his street, at the end, then it turns and it connects into the city. So it's just a shorter distance.
Yeah. Well,
we definitely work with the city, and you can definitely do that.
Yeah.
But please be rest assured. Like I stated at the beginning of this meeting, once we figure out the details, we're going to publish those and host another meeting to explain how this is all going to work. So good. I'm hoping
there's nothing going to be a big secret. You get a mailer and the whole thing about the whole thing.
I'm sure that you're going to have another meeting.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
In order for me to get my applications so I can figure out how much I'm going to have to.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. Does that take care of you, Jim? Real quickly, I'm going to allow one more question. We got to move on here. We got a full meeting to head out of here.
I just wanted to say that I attended the Stephen Renner's presentation over at Eureka Park, and one of the reasons I did was to be able to share the fact of the information that I heard. It was very thorough. It was very clear. It was very concise. The packets were available, just like you shared. Everything you said, I see. When I was there. So it was a very good meeting. You know, it was a very good public meeting. It gave you lots of information. I think you did a great job tonight. But I think attending that public meeting for a lot of us is going to be really important, because then you'll hear in more detail about the financial aid. And then we still, at that point, will have a year. Once we even hear your information, we still have a year after that, right?
We're actually looking at that as well. It may be on, we might be looking at an 18-month schedule or something like that, but that's details to come.
Well, certainly a year and a half would put folks in a little better position
again,
to get there.
We're looking
there,
at 600 connections,
yeah.
And through my tiny office trying to figure out how to administrate things.
Exactly. Well, yeah, gentlemen, and really appreciate you coming out. I think there's a lot of good information. I think maybe the residents understand a little better now.
No.
Oh, no? Okay.
I understand that.
Yeah. But you still don't understand.
I still have another comment.
And I do understand where you're coming from, Joyce. But, okay.
Which, I have another comment.
Okay.
And I just need to know this from the board. Since you've gotten all these agreements from folks willing to meet, willing to talk, willing to keep this conversation moving, are we tabling that consideration of a lawsuit?
Well, obviously there's not going to be one.
No.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that if the information is all there, and that's all there is, then that's all there is.
Okay.
Like I said, somewhere along the line, there was some breakdown of information I didn't see. As I said, I got one email, one phone call, and then multiple letters. But we will talk about that. Because I wanted to see how it broke down.
Okay.
The reason that I was asking these questions is if state money and federal money was there, a lot of times tap fees or capacity fees help pay for the project. If the project was going to be paid for in full by these other entities, why would there need to be a tap fee? And that was the whole gist of what we were trying to find out. We were not trying to say that there wasn't going to be a tap fee, or there was. I've never said that. I've always wanted to see is how it broke down. How much of it was actually coming from the county, because we pay county taxes as well. So I guess we can move on from there.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Well,
gentlemen, I appreciate you coming out. Spend a couple of...
Okay.
Beg pardon. It's been part of a fine evening with us here. I haven't seen Harold, good to see you. Good to see you, gentlemen. Pleasure meeting you too, Nick. Look forward to seeing you again. Okay, and we'll see you as well then. Tell Kevin thank you for sending you ladies down, okay? Thank you very much.
What he says.
I have a question.
Aren't they here so that, you know, is it, they just are, we just so happen to have the sewers on the same night that they were here, but we've got more questions for them, right?
Yeah. Oh, for them. Oh, yeah, I do.
Okay.
What I've got. Yeah, don't run off just yet.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Welch. Where's Pete?
Well, wait, do we want to do them first?
No,
we're paying them.
Yeah,
we're this costly.
Yeah, we've got big bucks.
Get me out of here. I thought of both you guys.
I've been sweating it out ever since they've been here.
She sat there kind of like, and then jumped up real quick.
I even got chewed out for moving you up on the agenda. Somebody was talking about it. I don't know. Might have been Byron, I guess. Anyway, okay, let's see. Oh, we're going to move the fire department up, and reason being...
Well, we're going to talk with the attorneys first.
Yeah,
go ahead. He's here.
Oh, okay.
He's just talking with them to get information.
Oh, okay.
So we can start with Don.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying, yeah. Well, I don't know. Who knows about the Ohio insurance? Is that Pete or you?
That's Pete.
Well, that's who we need.
Then we can let him talk. We can go to another subject.
Let him. Him to leave.
Well,
he's not leaving. He said he'd be right back.
Make sure.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
Well, Nick,
can you
might want to grab Pete.
Yeah, make sure he does.
Go ahead and ask him.
Okay.
He'll come back. His things are.
He said he'd be right back.
Okay.
Okay.
He said he'd be
okay, well, we're going to, I'll tell you what, let's go ahead. Jim, how much you have there?
You know, do you want to go ahead? Because he can answer the questions in regards to that. Do we have a contract? Is that why he was here? I thought that's why they put it on the
well,
agenda.
Well, no, it's a relative to this new insurance stuff. I want Jim to talk to him about.
I don't know.
I need Pete in here with that.
Right.
Yeah.
But let me, if I can do this, if I can have everyone's attention, because I know at one of the meetings, and maybe this isn't why you were here, but we had questions in regards to why did we not have what we thought we had with the casino as far as the actual contract.
I had a question for Don and for my editor here.
We got
and
a
the question is, we have a contract, I understand we have a contract with the city of Columbus with the casino agreement.
With the annexation, right.
Right. But my understanding is we do not have a contract with the JED. The JED is in that contract, but it can be with Columbus or can be with somebody else. If Columbus doesn't want us to, the other way around.
Well,
I just wanted to make sure because we was told, somebody said, we do not have a contract with the city of Columbus.
We have a contract.
Right.
We
so my question is, do we or don't we? Because my
do.
Understanding, we do.
We do have
right.
a,
we
we
do
have a 50-year
one.
Contract.
The only thing is it just wasn't
hey guys,
the JED.
We can't hear.
Exactly.
And the JED was...
If I get everyone's attention.
The JED is in the contract, but the JED is in an understanding that we can either go with Columbus or go with whoever.
That's exactly right.
If we go with Columbus, it's in the 50-year agreement.
That's exactly
if
right.
If it is not with Columbus, it is not in a 50-year agreement
yeah.
unless we write in the agreement with whoever else
exactly.
we put it in with.
That's exactly right.
Right. That yeah. is my understanding. Okay.
I didn't have the question. I just remember last meeting they
yeah,
were going to bring you in.
So.
Okay. But how long has it been since we've been, how long has the casino been there? And we've been expecting $750,000 a year for 50
that's
years.
That's a different issue.
No.
What do you mean?
So that's
protection. That's a whole different, yeah. that's a whole well, different yeah. issue. That,
what happened there?
Ask the state.
Oh,
yeah. Ask
because,
the state?
Because their revenues are down too.
Yeah.
They're nowhere near what was projected. Ask the county. Their revenues are nowhere near what was projected.
Wait a minute.
Everybody's
is
revenue.
There a contract that we are supposed to receive that?
We no. have, we receive a percentage.
It was never for $750,000.
Okay.
It was for projected.
Projected for that.
So whoever was at that time was projecting that we would receive $750,000. The projection fell short because of their revenue and whatever else is fell short. So what we are getting now is roughly $120,000 a year.
Oh, what was that?
Yes.
All revenue sources.
What was originally, what we are getting originally was supposed to be out of the $750,000. We were supposed to take, I believe, $120,000 towards West Broad Street and Georgiaville Road agreement to maintenance. An agreement was signed on the Georgiaville Road, so we are having to maintain that. Agreement was never signed on the Broad Street. But we do not receive the $120,000 anyhow, but what we are, we do maintain Georgiaville Road. We have not signed a contract with Broad Street. If we signed a contract to maintain Broad Street, there's already been four lampposts, a crosswalk sign, and many trees has already been come down. We would have probably had a $200,000 bill to maintain Broad Street with the lights and stuff that has come down. So that's the reason the contract has never been signed with Broad Street, because we have never got the money from the City of Columbus. And also in the agreement with the City of Columbus, or not the City of Columbus, but the ODOT on Broad Street, there's a statement in there that says anytime the contract fall, or anytime the revenue fall below $120,000, the contract is null and void anyhow. So if we had assigned the contract, we would be out of it because it's null and void, because the income revenue to maintain Broad Street and Georgiaville Road is below $120,000.
And we're getting $120,000 a year.
Yeah. You're spot on.
Well, we're getting $120,000 a year. I think this year, Reese is already left.
Guys, I don't know how this thing went from insurance here to casino.
We're supposed
to, and you're going to be here till midnight, and I'm not sitting here till midnight.
This is what we originally wanted Mr. Brocious to come out and talk about.
Mr. Welch,
yes, sir.
You have information on the insurance.
I sure do. With Pete's help, I'll try to explain.
We're getting way off whack here.
I thought we brought him out, Ralph.
I brought him out for the sewers and for this insurance thing.
No, they were already scheduled to come out. The audience wanted the questions about this.
The audience got your questions with them. They scheduled the 24th to come out to talk about the sewer.
That was just an added to it. Anyways, go ahead.
No, they came out the 24th because it was prearranged to talk about, meet with the residents about the sewers. Right or wrong?
Well, this question hopefully got answered. Go ahead to insurance.
Right. Okay.
Now go to insurance.
Let's go ahead. This is a crucial thing on this health insurance.
Yeah, absolutely. As you guys know, we switched health insurance companies. Well, they switched it for us. It's very complicated. It's multi-level. There's different terminologies for everything. But basically what it came down to is two different companies, this Benovation and Jefferson Healthcare Plan. We were now a month and a half into it, 2 months into this program, we're finding out Benovation's not working. I got grievances coming up through the chain to me because people's been turned away at the doctor's offices. Guys have had to pay $3,000 out of their own pocket.
At the place. At the point in time of care. Yeah.
So Benovation's not working. This was a dreamed up program that Frank Herman brought up. And obviously it's not coming through. I talked to, as you guys know, there's a group out there with the attorney named Paul Lafayette. He's getting some groups together. Right now he has over 30. The 30 groups are now suing OPEC-HC. In order to find out where all the funding is gone, where all the money is gone. They believe that OPEC-HC has overcharged us all these years, and they want to know why there's still a deficit in place after paying all this money. After speaking with Paul Lafayette, and I brought it up to our attorneys, I think the best move for us is to get inside with these groups and get on board with the lawsuit with Paul Lafayette. If we stay where we're at now, I think we're going to be holding a bag, the remainder bag, whatever's left over, these other groups are aside from.
$380,000.
Yes, that's all going to be filtered out, and it's going to be separated out. Well, whoever's remaining with the OPEC-HC group is going to be responsible for that. I talked to Paul Lafayette. His opinion was he doesn't know how much of the remainder amount we owe is. That's why the auditor is now involved. That's why the lawsuit's involved. He is shutting off. The reason it has to be brought up tonight is because he is shutting off the groups as of Monday. If you don't sign on with him before Monday, he's not accepting any more groups. The judge is not so happy with this case. She's tired of hearing about it. She doesn't want it brought to her, but she understands it has to be that way.
And there are several other Franklin County entities, townships, that have already jumped on board with Paul.
Yeah.
In that group. And then Paul basically, I think it's the number before Monday is probably going to be 40 or potentially more than that. Uh-huh. And in terms of cost, your cost, it's what he's doing is he's charging his normal hourly rate, but it's going to be spread equally among all the entities. So 40, you know, potentially 40 yeah. some entities. So, you know, probably $5 an hour or whatever. But I think your choice is, if you don't join a lawsuit, there is a separate settlement agreement that's out there between OPEC, the consortium, and JHP, who used to be the administrator before OPEC fired them and inserted Bedovation. You have to make a decision, if you're not part of this lawsuit, you have to make a decision as to, am I staying with Bedovation or am I staying with JHP?
So basically, we got a hole in the ship. Can the men patch it up and make it float, or is it going to sink? I think a new boat is where I want.
Well, I think the main reason to go and join the lawsuit is that it restores.
Well, I agree.
Restores everything
saying,
prior.
I'm not going to stay. Yeah. I'll join the lawsuit, in my opinion, join the lawsuit and then get a new plan. Don't stay with the same identical plan.
Well, not only that, but what really the lawsuit is designed to do is to take that is to take that deficit,
that
ungodly number, and
right.
shrink it as much as it can.
To 50,000.
To whatever that number ends up being. Yes, that's ultimately the goal. I mean, my advice would be to jump on board. But, you know, you do have the ability to look at that settlement agreement that's outside of the litigation and make a decision under that. But that just puts you back in one of the holes you're already in.
Didn't OPEC and agree to go back with JHP along with Bedovation, that you can stay with OPEC?
Yes, just for this year. OPEC is going to be dissolved at the end of this year.
OPEC
is going away. It'll be dissolved. So for this year, what they're doing then is you're going to have two, it's almost like two pools within a pool, mm-hmm. But you have to pick.
Right.
But the same issues, if you pick one or you pick the other, the same issues are still going to exist. What the lawsuit is designed to do is to really address those issues, address those that deficit and those fees and everything. Because at the end of the day, regardless of whether you pick JHP or Bedovation, you're still going to have to pay the piper under that settlement agreement.
Right.
And
you're just taking a chance. Which one's going to be $300,000? Which one's going to be $50,000?
No, yeah, you really have no clue. And even it says in the settlement agreement that they don't know. Because the elections haven't been made by some of the entities, and it's all going to be based upon the experiences within those individual pools as
but
to what
you
your
as
exposure
an attorney,
is.
But you as an attorney, looking at this in an objective way, understanding lawsuits, you would recommend that we join.
I would, and Paul does, you know, Paul's been around a long time. We've dealt with Paul a long time. He does a lot of the risk pool, so he's insurance counsel. So if the fire department or police department got sued, we would call our right. insurance carrier, right. and they would assign Paul to represent and defend the township and the individual firefighter in the department and the township. So he already knows some of the folks here. I've dealt with Paul. He's a top notch attorney, class act. And the parties that Chief is talking about, those 40s, those are all political subdivisions. Those are all, and they're all smaller political subdivisions like right. Franklin Township.
So, early on, we were asked to maybe start something, and it made no sense. If you're going to go this route, go with Paul.
Right.
That makes all the sense in the world.
Right. And so all those litigation costs are going to be spread out over 40 entities. So
my rough guessing math earlier today is when I ran all the numbers is we're, as a township, going to owe about $80,000, even if we sign up with Paul Lafayette. And that's them boiling down this residual amount of money we owe anyway.
So that would be like, for instance, 2 months of our premiums.
It would be a month.
Month and a half?
A little bit more.
Because that's a lot better than a $380,000 that would have been.
Yeah, so far they did away with the 3 month penalty. They've done away with the early withdrawal penalty. And there's another thing.
But there's still the operating deficit, and that number fluctuates between anywhere, I've seen anywhere from 65 to 7,500 per employee.
So at this point,
that's the number Paul's is trying to shrink.
At this point, there was a letter that was signed that we opted out.
If you join the lawsuit,
talking about the opt out of the insurance, the form that we were to opt out.
You had to revoke that before September 1st.
Right.
And we opted back in.
No, you don't need. There's nothing you need to do with that now. Okay. If you join the lawsuit. That goes away. Under the settlement agreement, you now have until, I believe, August 31st. If you weren't to join the lawsuit, you now have until August 31st to make a decision on whether you're going to stay with JHP or go with the new consortium, or it's an existing consortium, I'm calling it new. It's called the Ohio Valley Consortium. So
I've got to
fill them out correctly if it goes.
I've read so many of these lately that it's like
it's extremely complicated, and it's unfortunately the insurance industry also uses its own set of lingo, which complicates things.
It does.
But you won't need to address rescinding that.
You do not.
So you're either going to join the lawsuit tonight, and that's taken care of, or you're going to have to make an election tonight, either to go with Benovation or go with JHP, and that decision has to be made
tonight.
You got to make it tonight because it's due by the 28th.
So then I'd like to make a motion that we join the lawsuit and do whatever else we need to do to get the ball rolling, per advice of our attorney.
Through the rest of this year, we will stay with the Benovation?
No. No, it's going to restore everything back to the way it used to be before Benovation was fired. Everything is kind of puts it in reverse.
Okay, so, we'll
so JHP will be the administrator, and that's where some of the issues were coming up, is that when OPEC fired JHP and put Benovation in, a lot of these healthcare providers don't recognize Benovation. So they were denying claims. And the experience you've had here, same experiences that they've had in Hamilton Township, and you can run down the list.
So
those that stayed with Benovation.
Will our cards change?
We're going back to MedMutual.
So MedMutual will get new cards.
We'll go back to MedMutual.
Yes. Okay. So there's a motion, unless there's a...
Excuse me, just a minute. So there's the JHP thing, you followed that pretty well.
Yes, JHP is MedMutual. There's two terminologies for the same selection.
Okay, so that's basically Medical Mutual then.
Yes.
But OPEC will still administer.
Yes.
I mean, they will still be our carrier or our brokers at this time through the first of the year.
Who is your broker?
It'll be our HRA account.
Frank Harmon.
Right. So Frank will still administer that.
Right.
That's correct.
They
he'll be your
still
broker.
Administer through the first of the year.
Correct.
And then the lawsuit comes up wherever it plays out.
So, really, all this is going to shake out. You're probably going to have to make a decision by the end of October 31st as to what you do for next year. Do you want to stay with JHP? Do you want to go to this Ohio Valley Consortium? Do you want to potentially look at the Franklin County Consortium? What other options you want to do? You should have, I'm not saying you're going to have, you should have all the information from all these entities sometime starting to float in early October to allow you to make an informed decision as to what health insurance plan fits best for the township. And that's typically when you see it coming through anyway, because they want to know from an administrative standpoint, are you jumping on board so they can get everything ready to go at the beginning of the year. So you still have a little due diligence that you're going to have to do in terms of where you want to go in 2018.
Okay.
But you should start getting information from JHP, the Ohio Valley Consortium. I know Chief and I talked about Franklin County Consortium. Prairie Township was kind of ahead of the curve a little bit, and they joined that three or four years ago. So they're not involved in any of this mess, and I think they've had some really good experience with that consortium. So
certainly our experience now is starting to dwindle to nothing, right?
This is a bad situation.
It is.
There's no win. No.
And there's a lot of, a lot of entities that are involved in this. The state auditor is now involved in terms of auditing, and
some county prosecutors.
I'm sure everybody read the newspaper article.
Oh yeah, sure.
So if there's no more discussion on that, I have
just authorize somebody to sign this
on the floor.
Yeah.
And needing a second.
Yeah, not second. That way, it's JHP is who we're joining, right?
No, you're joining the litigation.
The litigation.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Don?
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I just need somebody. Do you typically have the chairperson?
And then I have one more question for you, Don.
Oh, sure.
On, you've seen this. This is the 1953 Water Act. Where the city of Columbus entered into a contract with, entered into a contract with Franklin County, that you would always be able to tap in services. There would be a tap fee, but they would not be able to annex properties. It would not force you to annex, and we all know what property got annexed because of not water and sewer was the casino. I started asking other attorneys and questions, people that I know, is this a valid and is this contract current? I have sent it to Christine Long to send it to the county commissioners to take a look at it, as well as anyone in the county to look at it. Do we know if that is actual?
I'm not sure it's current, to be honest with you. What we ought to do, we're meeting with the county on this
Tap fee issue. I'd bring it with you.
Let's bring it with us, and get the information then.
Okay.
All righty. Is there anything else? Anyone, since we're paying big bucks or your money here for these gentlemen, does anyone have a question for them?
Robin does.
Robin does, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm glad you guys are here, because the board brought up a few weeks ago, it's been several meetings ago, related to the JED and the memo of understanding versus having an agreement versus having a contract. And we found out the city rejected our proposal for the JED due to we didn't have a, we had a memo of understanding.
No, we had a contract. Don just went through that.
Okay, I missed some of that because I'm sorry, Don, I didn't hear you. So are we moving forward with the JED with Columbus or are we not? I guess is what we
need
to hear. So is the JED moving at all? Because we're running out of time.
No, we're not.
We're getting an extension?
There is no time.
Sorry you missed it.
Yeah,
he just spent time explaining.
You can't hear it.
Everything.
I'm sorry, I can't hear Don now. He's way over in the corner. He's over there.
There is a contract.
Okay.
Always has been a contract.
And what does this mean?
And the contract required people to negotiate in good faith in an attempt to develop a joint economic development district. There was never an obligation to sign one on our part or their part. But there is a contract.
And a contract to negotiate.
Right.
Okay, that's all I need to know.
That's what it was.
And I think I might have heard part, but I didn't catch it all.
I thought they had, in my misunderstanding, but when this was all going on, I thought they guaranteed us a JED within a certain time limit, that we had to get it, and that's why we were working diligently to beat that time limit.
No. The only thing, it wasn't a guarantee. The only thing in the contract was they provided for a 5-year moratorium on annexations within that area in the event a JED was developed with Columbus.
That's more than 5-year deadline.
Exactly.
And are we at that?
After that 5 years, then they are free to annex anything they want.
Right.
If there is no JED, and the property owner wants to annex.
Yes. Yes.
But yes, there is.
Are you still working with Grandview, or who are we working with?
Yes, I didn't know if you wanted to.
Well, I didn't necessarily want to tell right now.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, that is.
That's where.
Okay.
I just talked to him yesterday.
Somewhat published right at the moment. But.
Can you give a time frame, a possibility of it being completed?
I'd prefer you call me about it.
Okay.
Yeah, let's not get into that too much because they have certain
out there still.
Okay. Now they have certain things that they're discussing right now,
and
they
want to get satisfied.
No.
That's not that I'm trying to hide anything or Don. It's just they kind of want to hold it down a little bit for a moment there until we got something for a little more definitive for.
Got one question.
I have a quick question. So I guess my question with the jet and. Like, I understand what you're explaining about, like, a contract, but there was an agreement to in good faith and all that, and that's what the city explained, too. I guess, like, my question is, just from, like, covering this for a while, did the trustees and you know that? Because from what I had heard from all the time covering it, that it always had been, like, John explained it.
That's
like,
what I
you
thought.
Picked out the area, then you got so many businesses to sign up to agree to it, and then you submit it, and then the city agrees to it. I never heard about this agreement negotiation until it came out that they submitted all that paperwork, and then the city said thanks, kind of, but no thanks.
No, so, it was always written that way.
So did you understand that the whole time?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I guess...
I didn't understand.
Yeah,
didn't
that's what I'm saying. That's where I'm wondering
well,
the miscommunication.
It was always one person that was working on it, and... We didn't always know, just like Ralph is working on it, and, you know, there's...
I didn't know it.
But it's written in the JED, if you read it,
if you read it, that's exactly what it says.
It's exactly what it says.
All you have to do is read it.
I knew this by reading
it. I think that's enough questions written. Right now. That the Columbus JED is dead. Okay. People from getting all riled up again. Thank you, gentlemen, very much.
see you, Don.
You
take care.
I like.
Thank
it.
You, sir.
Thank you, my friend.
Alrighty, where were we? Where were we, Chief? I'm really getting hungry. You better talk fast here.
I'm up there. We got moved up on the agenda.
Yes, you did.
Took care of the insurance. Chief Ives will take care of the run stats and the fleet update. I want to do a discussion on the BWC workplace drug-free workplace program.
Yeah, I'm all ears on that.
Yeah, there's basically the BWC offers several different discounts, and this is one of the major ones. I kind of hit on a little bit before, but this is a substantial discount we can earn through the BWC. Now, there's going to be some upfront costs, which I'll have it break down here for you in a second. But what this does, it lets us become a drug-free workplace. There will be a pre-employment for everybody. There will be drug testing randomly. There will be drug testing after any accidents. There's a lot of legwork that needs done to this in order to upkeep it and maintain it. We got to do reports and a bunch of online schooling, and we have to have classroom orientation, things like that, to train all the employees. But all in all, what will benefit from this is if they do pass marijuana laws, we're in front of it. The marijuana laws, I think they're coming. I think it's going to be next year. The township will be ahead of it. I mean, even though they do pass, our employees will still be bound to the fact that they can't use medical marijuana. And right now, this will also test for opiates. If I have somebody coming in on some sort of prescription pain medicine, we can send them out and get them tested. The cost breakdown, as you see, everybody has one except for me. Now, if we move into this drug-free workplace program, it's going to take some time. We have exempt and non-exempt employees here. We obviously can adopt it for all the non-exempt employees right away. All the union contracts will have to be negotiated, and luckily they're coming up next year. I believe the police and fire, I'm not sure about road. But there's a company I want to get with, which basically will write our custom policy to us, and they'll come in, there'll be a two-hour conversation, and they'll bring it right to the township and what exactly what we need. So there's $950 one-time cost for that. And then there's annual dues. They have a consortium that you belong to, and then there's the training, and then there's obviously the random drug testing. On the back side of this, there's two different grants that you can apply for through BWC. There's an implementation grant for $750, and there's an educational grant, which they will work to you for $250 an hour, and we need at least 4 hours the first year. But the biggest benefit is the 7% off for annual premiums. Our annual premiums right now to BWC is $99,000 per year. So we're roughly going to save $7,000 a year by jumping on board with the drug-free workplace program. And the only thing I need from the board is a resolution to grant me the permissions to move forward with working partners to get this established. For the board, like I said, you guys can go ahead and implement this to all your exempt employees. Now, the union is going to take some time to get through.
Is it all employees?
It can be all employees, elected officials, whatever you guys want to do.
I think it should be completely across the board.
I do too. I think it's a long time coming.
Right.
Most workforces have this already in place, and they're taking advantage of the 7% discounts.
Right.
And Chief Adams and I have got on the BWC website, and there's a whole bunch of programs you can get involved with. And he did one last year for $3,000. So it's my turn this year to do one for $7,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, is the...
The $1.4 million kind of got me.
I think you and I briefly talked for a minute. I understood. Now, we can get the grant, I guess, for the BWC, from the BWC.
It's not a promise, but...
Yes, yeah, probably.
They kind of kick you back the money to get it started.
So it would probably be, really get it started, about $2,000 then, approximately.
I'll need about $4,000 to start, we'll get the money back through grant money.
100% of the employees get tested?
No, 15% per year.
Okay.
So it's about one every other month.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine when we set up our own township policy, you guys can make it 30%. It's as long as you don't drop below the 15%.
We could get everyone tested, though, couldn't we? You're dealing with the union.
You're dealing with the unions, so
right?
You could get all the
right.
We can non-union workers,
the exempt employees,
right?
Sure.
Right.
Well, you get a pre-employment drug test anyway.
Yeah, we do that now.
Right.
I think I'm sure the police do it, and I don't know about the road, but
right.
I'm guessing they
right.
do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd like to see us raise it to 50% this year, and you'd have 50% next year. So every 2 years, you'd be getting 100% of your employees.
Well, if you look at it,
board decision that you.
Yeah, I agree with Don.
I'm 100% behind this. I think we should get on board and do it.
Right.
You just got to remember, it's about $40 to $50 per test.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's something that, like you said, with the things that are becoming now legal, recreation, I can't even say that word, right?
I don't even think you got to worry about the recreational part. We need it now.
Right, but I'm just saying, once it becomes legal
out there, for God's sake. I wish we already had it.
So, yeah. You want to make a motion?
Yeah, I'd make a motion. Let's see.
And I'll obviously come back to the board when the major decisions come up with the policy.
Okay. So
I think one thing we decided that we want 100% for all.
Well, the thing is, Ralph, what we need to do is we need to be able to make a motion that we go with this and then we'll have to set policies in if we're going to go 50% 1 year, 50% like Don said.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
But with the union, the way their contract is, you may not be able to send every person. You have to pick a person every month or et cetera.
Well, so, that's the way random works anyway.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So what we need to do here today is be able to say, make a motion that we're going to accept this and get started.
Yep.
And then if we want to go with the 50% this year, and then...
That decision could be made later. Then.
Well, you'd make that decision now with the motion.
Yeah.
And then what we need to decide is, are we going to go with 50 people? I mean, 50% this year and then 50% next year? And then we would work for that goal.
I wouldn't worry about the percentages just yet. Let me get with working partners, get a policy in place, and come back to you guys.
Let's do this. I'd like to make a motion that we accept Chief's proposal for a drug-free workplace for specifics as far as what percentage of people per year will be worked out at a later date. This is for a total cost of not to exceed $4,000?
Correct.
Do I have a second?
Yeah, I'd second. Second time.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Don?
Yeah.
Thank you.
And obviously we'll have to get a hold of a testing agency, and we're going to need 24-hour testing in case the police are fired.
Sure.
So, and I'll deal with all that as it comes. It's all you, buddy.
Oh, great. Hi, everybody. I was going to stand over here. Can you take a break from us over there?
Yes, it's a good spot.
That's a good break. Run numbers from last month, we had 885 runs. 172 of those were fire runs. And also, as we talked about the opioid crisis, we are still averaging 3 of those a day. As we just talked to Joe earlier today, I talked with him in the office. I think you guys remember last year we worked pretty closely with them. That is back on. With the Narcan, so I will be beating feet to their office tomorrow, because technically right now I'm spending $900 a month on Narcan, and if I get it for free from Frank County, I'm going to take it. So I'll be working diligently with that as of tomorrow. Also, with that being in mind, I just set up an opioid training class for us. I have not set the date. We will have it either here or at, I need to talk to trustees first. We have to set it up with Frank County Public Health. That'll be an opportunity that we can have Frank County Public Health come in, give a class, everybody would walk out of here with their own Narcan, which obviously is a great opportunity for all of us to kind of be everybody's first responders. I'm also working with the police department to make sure they have Narcan, because sometimes they do arrive on scene before we do.
Chief?
Sir?
If I may, also us being citizens, if for some reason you gave Narcan and the person still died, family suing you, there is... They can't sue you under the
Good Samaritan law, and that's all part of the training. It's excellent.
So encourage everyone to take it.
It's not entirely that clear, unfortunately. There is immunity for first responders and a few others. I'm not exactly sure about regular citizens.
And I think that's why we're doing the training. I think in Selma, Frank County Public Health, if they come out and do the official training, that's how we get through that little loophole right there. So. But that'll be coming here very soon. I would like to get it done here before the end of the busy season of opiates. I'm sure the deputy here will agree that it might slow down come November for a month or two, and then we'll be right back at it. Along with that, I wanted to, another good news, the guys are on duty today. It's actually on the agenda. They were actually nominated by the City of Columbus for some heroic acts that they did October 21st of 2016. There was an absolutely devastating triple shooting over on Parkwood Drive. Our guys arrived first. Unfortunately, there were 3 fatalities out of that. But our guys arrived on scene to take care of one of the very young victims. And they were deemed, their actions were above and beyond. They kind of split up and were treating 3 extremely bad victims off of a fire truck and a medic and waiting for, it ended up being like a major medical emergency is what we call it, where we had like 5 medics and engines, and it was a big police incident because one of the individuals was the actual perpetrator. Anyways, our crew was just awarded the Award of Merit for the City of Columbus. They'll be receiving that in October, so once again, I'm very proud of our crew.
Yeah.
And now to bad news. All of our trucks are broken. Chief Welch would have gone over. Chief Welch would have gone over. As you guys know, we've had maintenance issues all year. We just want to give an update to the board. Our extra engine failed its yearly pump test. That was had to be fixed at Findlay. We took engine 193 in for its yearly pump test. It failed. It's now at Findlay, getting a new pump put in it.
Have we got the other one back?
No. Oh, we have extra engine 193 back.
No.
Obviously, medic 192 is totaled. We're in the extra medic right now. It's running. I actually had to have Cat was working on engine 192 today. I had to have them pull it off the rack because Columbus wanted their truck back because they're out of trucks. So I had to have Cat stop working on engine 192 to put it back in quarters. So it's not really fixed, but it can put out a fire, and it's not unsafe. So that's where we're at. And we're in the extra engine down here. But the good news is, once things get fixed, hopefully we'll be in good shape for a few months while we're waiting for a new fire truck and new ambulance to come. We're doing the best we can, everybody. The main thing is we're keeping trucks on the road, and if you do see a truck that doesn't say Franklin on it, it might be a Columbus truck. We've got Clinton's trucks, we've got Arlington's trucks. We're doing the best we can with what we've got. We're just making sure we always have our truck in service. We're not taking anything out of service. I'm scrounging. I even almost got to borrow a fire truck from a training academy today. It's getting crazy. We're doing the best we can. And the trustees know that we're just burning through maintenance money.
Yep.
We're doing we're trying. So, any other good news I was supposed to bring up?
It certainly hit big time all at once there.
Excuse me?
It was hit. You were hit big time, weren't you?
It's unheard of to lose two pumps.
No.
In a 10-year period. Yeah.
In a 10-year period, we lost both of them in a week. And one of the pumps, we found a 3/4-inch, 3/8-inch bolt in the pump, came in through a hydrant. Even though we have screens, the bolt was big enough, it crushed through the screen and got in the pump, and that destroys the pump.
That's crazy.
So it didn't put out water.
I think that's as good that we find this out now versus later when you...
Well, this is why we do yearly pump tests.
Yeah.
So, doing the best we can, everybody, but I promise you, you'll have a truck. It just might not say Franklin on the side of it right now. It's really
a point with a man.
Yeah. Anything else?
You got it.
Board, anything for me?
Great job. I know it has to be very difficult calling people up and going, and I'm sure they're like, did you try Hertz?
It's been an extremely interesting couple of days.
I can imagine.
Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, next, how much do you have, Jim?
A bunch.
Do you? You got a lot?
I have nothing.
Oh, okay. Well, you want to do yours now then? I'll do that.
Yeah, I just have one real quick update.
Okay.
That's pretty much it.
Well, I was going to do the resolutions.
That's the only thing I really have was resolutions for House Bill 50, which you'll be reading.
Okay.
A little bit of an update. I've been working pretty diligently on this grant, this new grant application I'm going for the Havenwood resurfacing. And we're getting pretty close. I met with the county today, and we're getting pretty close to having that all put together so I can have this grant application turned in. It looks like it's going to be a rather substantial grant figure-wise. I can't really give you an exact figure on it yet, but that would get the roads over in that area repaired and resurfaced, which would be your Nationwide Boulevard, Industrial Mile, Westport, Lincoln Park Court. Those areas over there. When I met with the county today, we were looking at the possibility that there's some curb work that's going to have to be done also, so we're going to try to include all that into this grant.
Mm-hmm.
I have to have it turned in next month. It's multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars. Just don't know exactly what yet.
Right.
So,
I'm sure you know.
Oh, no, I'm not. Well, this kind of comes from three of us, really, the three department heads. We are working on cleaning out our... We're working on cleaning out the pole barn out back, and we have talked about it a couple different times in some meetings. There is a substantial amount of old radio equipment from the police department, fire department. We have some old brackets and things that are out there, old push bumpers from the Crown Victorias, light bars that Byron's got out there that don't work anymore. Naturally, we can't put those on gov deals because anybody could buy them, and that's not good. So I think the three of us are asking to possibly have a motion to get a resolution to either destroy or donate.
Right?
Destroy or donate those goods that are out there.
Yeah, I took a look at the stuff the other day there.
You'll have to itemize everything you've got, and then you have to decide whether it's going to be obsolete, no value, and then you can destroy it and throw it away, or you can obsolete, no value, and you can donate it.
You can pretty much figure out exactly what's out there just by...
Yeah, I know.
But you can only donate it to another agency.
Yeah, there's some various stuff, and then there's a few little bikes and this, that, what?
Well, no, not the bike. That has nothing to do with it, Ralph. It's just all the stuff that's piled up in a big pile.
Oh, okay.
With the lights, and it's just accumulated over, at least my 9 years.
Right.
You just can't throw anything away.
No, that's why we're going to be making a list of it. Just want to get it to where we can do that.
That's how it gets there, is you can't throw it away as we store it.
Yeah.
You might want to make two lists. One that you're going to donate, one you're going to destroy and throw away.
Now, do we have to do that before a motion or anything can be passed? And then
it has to be a resolution for all of it. When you bring it to the board, then we'll take a resolution. That's what I'm saying. You put it in two things. One is it's obsolete and you're going to donate it of no value. And the other is it has no value and you're going to throw it away. But if it's police stuff that you would need to destroy it, before you throw it away.
You'd need separate resolution, I think, don't you?
I have a question for you, Jim.
Yes, ma'am.
When are they getting the mass on Macklem and Lowell done? I'm sick of cleaning the mud out of my gutters.
Well, Mr. Renner really didn't give anybody and I didn't really want to step in the middle of that conversation because this is another battle that I've been working extremely diligently on every day, with the resurfacing and the repaving and everything. Right now, as of today, we're on our fifth set of plans on what they want to do. This is the fifth time we've been given different plans. Nobody really knows what's happening yet. I sent an email out yesterday pretty much saying, hey, we need to know what's going on. I had an email sent back that didn't get us anywhere, but every day I'm hammered and trying to get to it because, I mean, to me it's ridiculous. It's set here since 2010 right now. All the pipe's done. The only thing they have to do now is do the paving. They're worried about being over budget, and they made a comment in a meeting, and I'm not afraid to say this at all, but they made a comment in a meeting sitting here earlier this month that because they're over budget, that's why they're trying to save money on the paving. And I plainly told them, you won't do that at our expense.
It looks like crap, totally.
It does, and they're going to be coming back, and we're going to make sure that it's done right. But we're not going to let them.
They're coming back again. When?
No.
I mean, that's been all summer. That's
every day. Every day, I'm on them about trying to get some kind of a schedule.
Do we need to call too?
Feel free. They've got that hotline. Keep hammering them on that hotline too.
Do it every friggin' day if they have to.
Please do.
I will.
All the help. Believe me, from our side, we're doing everything we possibly can. Every day. Every day. It's just an uphill battle and a fight that I'm fighting.
Robin, is your block watch expanding up El Paso, or are they going to get their own? Or the reason I'm asking is Jim's here, or we decided to want to put another sign up at the other end of El Paso at Higg Avenue.
Yeah, I think they're going to be joining us for a while.
Okay.
The folks on El Paso, that are past the
swipe. Around two Higg?
Yes. So I had four or five families come to the last block watch meeting from El Paso. And because they're having the same problems with a particular drug house that's there on El Paso, and we have people from Moneyback that patronize that drug dealer. So we have a lot in common. You know, they can see the transactions going on, and some of it's our people, some of it's other people. But it was nice for them to come to the Moneyback meeting.
Right. I think if you're going to expand the block watch up that area, we ought to put another sign up there at Higg and El Paso.
Higg on to El Paso.
Yeah. And so it may be going in from the swipe.
And I just going to say another one at the west end of El Paso also, so that they know it's coming in both ends, that there's a block watch on that street.
There was a lot of people that came, and the chief was able to.
I thought we had one on the west end of El Paso.
No. I mean, we got the one coming that's in, El Paso coming in connecting into Plank.
Right. Coming into.
But that's not going
not
to there.
Going out of.
Oh, wait, okay.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Don,
I think you need two of them, one at both ends of El Paso there.
And even if they go on their own, they would still have the signs up.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you.
That's all I have.
Yeah, Tim.
For Jim and John both. Don, about the truck for the trees, have we found out anything with Jim?
I'm still working on that.
Still working on
it? With the ladder truck?
Yeah, because they're still beating me down on this.
Well, I mean, the one thing that we need to understand about that tree, which I explained to Trustee Fleshman, is you're talking about the big limb up in it. That is actually out of our right-of-way, so it's not our responsibility to take that down. It would be something, I mean, it is a safety hazard that actually falls back on the original homeowner. And I'll just leave it at that. I mean, if we can get in there and do it, because we have to get a bucket truck to go around and clean up some of the limbs on our streets that are in our right-of-way, that's our responsibility. That tree actually sits outside the right-of-way by a good almost 15 feet. So, if it really truly, it would fall back on the homeowner. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you can, I explained it to them.
Yeah, no, they've been told different stories both ways. Well, first it was yes, first it was no, and
no.
They said, well, and then John said he was going to try to see what he could do by getting a bucket truck.
I guess that's why I'm answering it now. That's the way that it is. It's outside of our right-of-way. It falls on the actual homeowners. But if we can get in there, we had a situation where we had an individual contractor that does work for us that had said if they are in that area and they can get up in there and reach it with their bucket truck, they take it out at no charge. But they have not been in that area. Now, with them doing us a favor, I can't just keep harping on them to go over there and do that. So we're working. If we can get it done, we'll get it done. But they just need to understand, it is out of our right of way.
Where is it?
But at the same time, that company needs to understand it's their responsibility that they are on private property.
Absolutely.
Not with our permission.
No, exactly. And even if we were to go in there and do that, because that is a danger, I mean, it's a dangerous situation. Even if we were to go in there and do that, they would actually have, that actual homeowner would have to sign a release, releasing mm-hmm. us of any liability whatsoever. If that big monstrous limb was to come out of there and hit a shed or hit something like that, we're not responsible.
It's in Broad Lawn. That's in the alley. What's is that on the street? What's the street?
That's in the alley behind Broad Lawn.
So is the alley is just the
Broad Lawn and Bowling right there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. She just need it for the record.
Well, see, that house is burnt. It's more boarded up.
Right.
So,
see, and there, and that presents a problem too, because how do we get a hold of the homeowner? We can't knock on the door if there's no one there.
You just have to go like what I've had
right,
to do.
Right, right. So I'm just saying it's going to take time.
All right. Is anyone else have anything? Okay. Stella?
Yes, John. There's been people going in and out of there too.
Okay.
They're still boarded up. I don't know how they're doing it, but I've seen them out of there.
Okay.
Alrighty, thank you. Anything else for the road department? If not, we'll move on here. Okay, let's see. Well, we might as well go ahead and be nice to you there, Chief.
Yeah, whenever you're ready.
We still got stuff to do, so.
Right. I just got a few things. First, I got the monthly stats for July. I'll run through those real quick. 47 accident reports, 87 citations, 52 warnings, 89 offense reports, 980 dispatch calls for service, 372 pickup runs, over 9,000 miles driven, 31 court cases, and 43 vehicles impounded. That's
relatively busy, I'd say.
It's the time of year.
Yeah, it sure is.
Next thing I wanted to talk about was our impound fees. I met with Capital Towing today, and some of the other departments that have responded back that charge administration fee. You know, Dublin is at 120 per impound. Arlington is at 150.
Wow.
Grandview is somewhere in the area. We're still down at 30, which is where we started, which is where Columbus was at.
Right.
This is somewhat labor intensive because there's a lot of work that goes into right. doing this. I would ask the board to amend the resolution. I don't have the number, the original resolution,
right.
but amend that so that we can charge $50 per impound, okay. which I think is still...
I would think, and this is mine, I would say we charge $65 because if you look at the cost, like you said, everyone else, mm-hmm. that would be a happy medium. I mean, that would be half of what some of the other people are charging.
Well...
I mean, $65 is a bargain compared to if you get your car towed in Dublin or Prairie or wherever else you set.
Yeah. Well, right. I guess my thought was, you know, 50 kind of covers our cost, and hopefully they'll still get picked up, and we won't be giving them all to the impound lot. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid if we go too high... we'll just have a lot okay. more cars.
Well, if you feel comfortable with the 50, but, then...
Yeah. I mean, we can address it year to year.
Yeah.
That's, you know,
do you know where Columbus is at the moment?
Not. I believe they have some other fees, too, because they have their own impound lot. So there's a lot of other things that goes into theirs.
Well, let's try 50. We can amend it later, then. Would that be okay?
I'm fine with that, if you're fine with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're going to raise it from what to now?
30 to 50.
The only thing I would question, you need to check the legality about, I don't know if you can make a profit out of it. I think maybe Nick could answer that. Can they make a profit out of that?
No, it's not designed to be a profit system, but obviously there's a lot that goes into calculating your costs, and I'm happy to sit down and work through it with you.
Okay. I know it's like, you know, running copies, you can only charge so much you can't make a profit out of it.
Under the Public Records Act, that's correct. Right. You can only charge what the actual cost is.
Right. Yeah, we definitely
well, I'd be in frankly, I doubt range. That $50 really would call really cover the administrative fee if you really
that really wouldn't cover you know because it wouldn't cover the officer's time. It wouldn't cover
that's precisely the point.
Like
yeah.
So we're not you know anywhere near. You know, that.
Okay. Well, then you want to make a motion there? For
I'd like to make a motion that we accept the chief's recommendation to take the impound fees from $30 to $50.
Are you amending the resolution?
And we're going to amend the original resolution that we currently don't have right here, but we will get
she,
that.
She can get that later there.
Do you know when it was, around when it was?
I think it was early 2016, wasn't it, when we mm-hmm. first started doing this?
I think so.
Yeah. Like February, I think.
Yeah, February, maybe March, but...
Yeah, I would second that.
Yeah.
Okay. John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Don?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
The only other thing I had, and I just thought of it, so I wanted to kind of discuss it with the board. At the last Block Watch meeting, the new one we had for Hart Road, one of the biggest issues they brought up was cars in the bar parking at Brown and Hart parking so close to the road that if you come up Hart Road, you can't see left to turn. I wanted to ask Jim, how much of that is easement, if we know from Brown Road, how far over?
I would have to actually find out because both of those roads are actually county-maintained roadways. I can find out exactly what that easement is.
Okay.
It's not a township right-of-way.
So can the township put up no parking signs?
We would have to, the county would have to do that.
Okay.
But I can get with you and we can
find out.
Can't hurt that.
Right. It is an issue because if you can't see, then you really got to pull out to the middle of the road to make your turn.
So. And I was corrected by Jim the other day. Brown is maintained, or our road is maintained by the county.
Right. Yeah, I knew that, but I didn't know if the township could enact.
I don't know. I don't think so.
No, we can't. We can't enact anything in another municipality's realm. Okay.
Maybe we'd. You know.
You'd have to get the
exact
address where you want the signs put from this point to that point, mm-hmm. and then Jim can turn it into the county, and the county take it to the county commissioners, and they can
make a,
decide whether they want to build or not.
They would have to go through their process, and they have quite in-depth process on this.
Yeah, maybe you could get with the engineer's office there and see.
I'll give it to Byron, and we'll figure
Byron or whatever.
I'll say they will probably. You give them the address, and then they will probably decide where they want it themselves as a certain point.
Right. Yeah, I would assume we couldn't go past the easement anyway, because then you're infringing on the property owner's property, so.
Okay, is there anything else, Chief?
No, sir. That's all I have.
Okay, well, thank you. Appreciate the job you're doing there. You've been working hard lately. I appreciate that. Okay, let's see here. All righty.
Do you want to get the sheriff's gentleman? I know he's been standing for a long time.
Oh. Oh. Well, hi.
He's just a wallflower.
He's a pretty good guy. He sneaked in here. I didn't hardly recognize
him. No, he didn't. He's been there.
He's been there. He's been there.
But I was about to tap these.
No. Oh, okay. Well, I saw him. I thought he was just standing there looking cute, actually, you know.
That's fine. I just wanted to come in briefly and kind of introduce myself and kind of have an overview of our new unit. I'm sure everybody's heard about it. I know they've done suppressors, but I am one of four deputies that are part of the new community liaison unit.
Okay.
Basically, Sheriff Baldwin saw a gap in where we provide service. To where, you know, your detectives are obviously investigating homicides and doing all that stuff, your community relations or your people that are coming out giving you info on the sheriff's office and setting up block watches, etc. Patrol deputies obviously address some of your concerns, but, you know, say you have a drug house or a speeding complaint, well, that deputy would come out and maybe try to do something, but then he gets pulled on a dispatch over to a domestic, to a theft, you know, what have you, to where, you know, our unit is going to be able to say, okay, you have a you know, a drug complaint on Little Avenue. Okay, well,
got
I
that right.
Go out and actually enforce it, dedicate my time to it, because I can't be dispatched. Basically, my workload is of my own volition. So if I want to go dress in a sweatshirt and go grab a plane car and sit and watch and have a deputy, you know, with me that I can dispatch myself because I'm seeing the activity, basically it's more service-focused enforcement is what you're going to get. So I'll be the guy that you're emailing and saying, hey, get your butt over here because this is going on. And, you know, what's awesome, what I actually do like about it is the buck stops at me. If there's a complaint that comes in that's not addressed, whose fault is it? It's Deputy Rome's fault because obviously he's not getting his job. I can't say, oh, I pass it up to the detective or I pass it off to patrol and they're not doing anything. You know, it's kind of, you know, all me. So what I will say, and it's not, you know, parlaying anything, but, you know, Columbus has the same or similar setup where they're more divided. They have an intelligence unit. They have an enforcement, you know, arm of their stuff where we do it all. They also have 100 people to do what the sheriff's office is starting with 4. So basically, I'm responsible for Zone 3, which is, you know, your Pleasant, Prairie, Jackson. So I'll have my work cut out, but I like it, to be honest with you. So it's fine, but guaranteed about a year.
What about Franklin?
She's smart.
Yeah. Well, obviously I'm standing in front of her, so I think it would be inherent.
I think she needs dinner, so she's getting living.
But no, I'm sure a year, you know, and the goal is to grow it. I mean, the overall goal is to have one dedicated to each township. So, but starting out, it's all me with all those, so, you know, I'm fine. If you guys have any questions, yeah.
Of course. When will you be dedicating time for block watches and stuff like that?
Community relations is still going
They're
to be
going to
block
still
watch,
that.
But that being said, I am going to attend the block watch just so I can, you know, hear some of the, hey, this is what's going on, and without it being, again, channeled through community relations back to me, I'd rather hear it myself.
Yeah, because I put in an online, you know, and through the online thing, the block watch, and Corporal Radliff texted me, and he said, hey, we're going to pass that on to the community liaison. So, yeah, well, I didn't know what that meant. Does that mean we don't...
It's funny you say that because I went to my sergeant today. I said, okay, you know, because again, we're formulating the systems as we speak, you know, because it's never been done before. I said, one thing that needs established is a clear line between what is community relations, what we are, and where the responsibilities stop.
Mm-hmm.
I said, because, you know, to me, you know, and what I like part of this job is I get out and go on the force. I'm still, you know, I still want to be a cop, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
I love community relations people. They can pass out stickers and do all that stuff, but I don't know if one of them can write a ticket, to be honest. So,
we'd appreciate that.
So, you know, that being said, we are right now going to start delineating, like, hey, you can't pass that to me. That's not part of our area, or that's we're not going to totally take that over. Where, like I said, I'll attend block watch, but I'm not going to set it up and
do
all that stuff. I'd rather have my car destroyed and stuff.
Oh, no, I just meant, like, if people come to my block watch and they, like, I had five people come from another street this time to talk about an adjoining drug house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Our police chief, you know, knowing that who we, what our access we have and our deputies, you know, and officers, that might be something he's going to lean on you to say, hey, at the block watch, we heard X, Y, Z.
Yeah,
you know
absolutely.
What I mean? That kind of dynamics could be going on.
And okay. That's why we also were considered first shift, but I have yet to work first shift for 8 hours. And I'm fine with that, you know, to where, you know, we still want to obviously coordinate with the other jurisdictions and agencies in our area and work different hours because, you all know, stuff goes on 24 hours a day. So it wouldn't do anybody's service for me to go, well, hopefully the drug houses are operating 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. and I can go out there and get them.
Well, no, mine are 24/7. No, I appreciate you coming because I've talked to Deputy, which one have I talked to? I don't know. I talked to many of them.
Yeah.
Gabriel, you know, the community relations. Mm-hmm. And I just talked to her last week, and we were talking about different things, and I was trying to figure out, like, from a block watch standpoint, an expectation or no expectation, you know what I mean?
Yeah, as far as setting it up and running and maintaining and remaining contact, no, but the block watch meetings, I plan on having.
Yeah, that's what I mean, because I already had a block watch that's already in full swing,
yes.
And being able, you know, to come on a schedule, we do it the second Tuesday or not, you know, would you be able to do every other, like with our police chief? I mean, he comes almost every single one, and that's a lot for him to commit to. Maybe you guys could tag team.
Yeah.
You know, and he doesn't like me anyway, so it's really a problem for me.
Let's clarify this. If there's free food, I'll buy it.
I always have food. He's my dad.
Yeah, Byron's already working. I think Byron's already working 14 days a week, aren't you? Okay, well, it was a real pleasure. I'm glad you came out. Byron.
Sorry we didn't get to you.
Byron, you make sure you get his card.
He doesn't
have one. Oh, no, yeah, okay.
I kind of said the same, like, Prairie's another big one that I go to. And I was like, I don't want to be brash, but that being said, I said, you know, when I come to meetings, if I can be part of the first two, maybe I turn around.
Yeah, we would.
You don't have to fight.
Because like I said, I would much rather be out doing stuff.
I assumed that when I saw you standing there.
Yeah, well, I didn't. I didn't know you were going to be here tonight.
No, it's totally fine.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely fine.
What's your name? Sorry, I missed
Jason Ronk, R-O-N-K.
Thank you.
So, Jason, I didn't know if you was here because the sheriff was here earlier or if you were going to take the place of Jessica. Was it Jessica, the one that came out before?
Gabriel.
Yeah.
She'll, like, again, it is part of that whole figuring out where we all fit.
Sure.
But, you know, they are probably going to be phased out of coming to the...
Well, this late in the meeting.
Now, this is where, you know,
oh,
we want
my goodness,
to hear
miss
where
her.
Maybe I wouldn't be flagged down the street. This is where we want to hear, hey, there's speeding complaints on this street, this street, drugs here, so...
Yeah. Being that it was this late in the meeting, I didn't think you were here for more, so that's why I'm like,
Well, make sure you tell Jessica to come with you sometime. We'll miss her, you know, too.
Be chopped liver?
Well, no, but, you know, she's got her own ways about her, you know. It's good to meet you.
Thank you guys so much.
All righty. Does anyone else have anything for the chief real quick, and we'll move on here.
Ahead,
Chief.
Yeah, I
want to
go home.
Well, this young lady, I would love to get everybody business cards, but I don't even have them yet. So what I can do, I don't know what your channels of correspondence are, but obviously I can email
Jessica.
You know,
can
be fine.
If you get it to Jessica, and if anyone calls in and talks to Jessica, she can, you know, like emails and stuff like that.
Don't be afraid to flood my inbox either.
So.
Yeah, could you get his information there, Jessica? Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, anything else?
Got a question in the back.
Oh, okay.
Mary had a question.
No, I thought you got it. Okay.
I happened upon the situation last week in our neighborhood, the break-in. And I talked to a deputy, and the description he gave me was of growing. And then Saturday night, a couple of Franklin Township officers were out looking over at his grandfather's property. I want to know, has he been apprehended? Yeah.
What were you doing up that late, Mary? Yes, he was. I don't know exactly what he was.
Was apprehended?
No. Yes. Yeah, he was charged with a couple burglaries, and he was in a stolen car, and I'm not sure what all else.
Because the day that was going on, I was trying to get information to you as to where I knew where he was staying for a while.
Yeah.
Right in the
They actually found him walking down the alley later. They were in a car chase. Yeah, they were in a car chase earlier, and apparently they lost him or whatever, and then they found them later that afternoon. Now, that doesn't mean he's in jail now.
So where's he at?
Well, we don't keep people in this kind of here, you know that.
No, there's
a,
judge lets me go.
Right. So, he was taken to jail is the only thing I can say right now. I haven't heard that he's back out, but I would assume he won't be in there long. Even though he is 18, somebody will probably bond him out.
Well, when he got out of lockup, I don't know when it was, he came over one evening and wanted me to take him out to Burlington, clothing factory or whatever it is. I wondered if I had time to take him out there, and I told him, no, I didn't. I had a nice long talk with him, but he's never going to straighten up.
Right.
Never.
Do you know where he's staying at over there now?
I can tell you where he was staying and who he told me he was staying with. The lady's name is Jenny. Jenny and Todd.
Uh-huh.
It's the White House on the corner of the alley, right behind will be the southwest corner, right behind the Mexican restaurant. That's the information I wanted to pass on to you guys.
Okay. Yeah, he was taken to jail that night.
As soon as I found out, when the deputy gave me the description, I knew who it was.
Right.
Did he take guns out of that?
No. I don't believe so.
Okay.
But you don't know if he's still locked up.
No, I don't know if he's still incarcerated or not. He was taken to jail.
We can look that up. Or your last name.
Why would they let him out?
Yes. For everything that he's done.
Prosecutors.
Well, there's a man to ask back there.
Why
are you letting all those guys out of jail, Dick?
I can tell you it's not the prosecutor.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I don't think he's going to run out of work anytime soon.
No, I don't. I think he's job secure. Okay. Well, I guess we'll move on then.
For jail.
Hanging my hooks.
Okay, let me see where I was at here. I kind of got out.
They're going to resolutions.
Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead to the resolution there, John. On the 1266.
We're going a little bit backwards, and now we're pretending like we're starting the meeting, so.
Yeah.
Resolution 17266. Be resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the board approves to pay in the amount. Well, someone wrote this differently. No. This one was just typed up different than it normally is. Approves to pay payroll in the amount of $96,993.80 and bills in the amount of $131,583.02 from check number 43849 to check number 43969.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Your resolutions.
Yeah, all righty. Let's see. Resolution 17267. It was all that.
No, 267. That's correct.
To pay Brosis Johnson and Greg's attorneys fee of $6708.50 for fees for July 2017.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, resolution 17268. Be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the board approves the road department to cut grass and weeds at 907 Demarest Road.
Do I have a second?
I second.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
Okay, resolution 17269. Be it resolved by the Board of Trustees, Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the board approves the road department to cut grass and weeds at 901 Josephine Avenue.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
Thank you.
Be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the board approves the road department to, to cut grass and weeds at 822 Josephine.
Do I have a second?
Second that.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Don?
Yes.
Okay, 17271, be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the board approves the road department to cut grass and weeds at 1513 Little Avenue.
Do I have a second?
I second.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Don?
Yes. Excuse me, 17272. Be it resolved by the Board of Trustees, Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the board approves the pay Cincinnati Insurance for a fire claim at 1247 Stemmel Road in the amount of $46,000.
I'm going to give you a clue on that one. We held that money until they got the work done, and then we released it. So it wasn't our money. Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Don?
Okay, let's see, we'll go back to...
To you, number 13.
Well, no, I need to get to... I want to get these minutes called up, John.
Oh, I missed that, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay, I've got the list. I've got the list here of the... of all the minutes that we didn't have posted, is that correct?
They weren't approved in a meeting.
Okay, they haven't been approved, okay. So these are all...
The ones that need to be read.
Okay, and these are the ones that...
The no audio ones.
No audio.
We were able to retrieve one of those, correct?
No. No, there's still four.
No, no.
There was five.
Oh, that's what I say. There's still four missing. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, for some reason, I don't know why, that the record of minutes for four meetings disappeared. And there was actually originally five, and we recovered one from a hard drive of a computer. But there was no audio or anything on the meetings from for January the 30th, 2016, February the 15th, 2016, February the 21st, 2016, and May 18th of 2016.
No, those are 2017.
So, basically...
Those are 2017.
Yep. 2017.
Or 2017. They're all 2017. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry, I got that wrong.
Fine. You're right.
So what I instructed her to do is to go ahead and post them, post these meetings and just purely state we lost the minutes records, I suppose. I don't know what else to do it or anything. And so if you find the blank in those, I don't know if Nick's still back there or not. What would you do in a case like that, sir?
Yeah, I'm a little bit confused. What is it that's actually missing?
It's well, the minutes record.
The recording.
The recording.
The recording and the writ. The whoever was taking the notes at that time, we can't find anything either.
We were able to retrieve. We sent the recorder out to our tech guy, and he was able to retrieve just one that was deleted. Somehow they were deleted off of there.
Okay. And the written minutes?
There's nothing.
There was no written minutes.
They're missing.
I mean, there was. They're just not.
There probably was. We just can't find them. I don't know.
That's something I'll have to look into, perhaps talk to the state auditor's office.
I wish you would and advise me on that.
Absolutely.
I don't know how they come up missing.
But I wanted her to get them at least online here on recording. Now, there's some other minutes that are missing, and which maybe I'll discuss with you a little bit more.
Yeah, we'll talk further on that because there are... Depends on the circumstances. I really need to get
I know
a lot
you
more
do.
Detail.
I know you do.
A lot more detail.
Well, I informed her to go ahead and put them on our website. So they will be there. But it'll be nothing, really.
Gotcha.
Okay. So if you would, maybe you could get back with me.
Absolutely.
And we'll do some discussion on that then.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I asked this. I asked this question to you one day when we were speaking. I'm curious, if you're a resident and you put your time in to come to this meeting, why wouldn't everyone receive a copy of the minutes? Because you guys three sit up there and read the minutes, and then you vote to approve the minutes. Is that correct?
Correct.
Am I right or wrong?
Correct.
Right.
So had we all gotten a copy of those minutes, we would have, someone surely here didn't all lose a copy.
Yep. No,
and then didn't the three of you receive copies of those minutes?
No.
How, you didn't vote to?
No.
No. What you don't do.
I guess bottom line is it a possibility for everyone to attend? I'll pay the 10 cents.
Well, no, you wouldn't have to do that.
Whatever it is you're asking.
What happens is this, and I understand you've got a great idea that everyone would see it, but I can assure you if everyone reads this, then someone's going to say, well, that should say there instead of they. And it would be backed up so far trying to change it, then someone else is going to read it and say, this should be from instead of to, just the wording of it, just because how we all speak and how we all think that it should be written.
Okay.
That would be a concern of mine because when it gets to this point, they've already been emailed to the trustees. The trustees look at them. If there are anything that needs to be corrected, all the department heads will be receiving those to look through to make sure that they're current. So we have everyone else looking at those. But unfortunately, I did think about what you said. And I'm seeing it now because even the way she wrote something, I'm like, that word isn't great. And I can already see where if we let everyone out here have them, where it's almost 9 o'clock now, we will never get those passed.
Okay, well.
And I don't even know if that's legal, Nick.
As far as the time, I've had a long day.
I understand. No. I'm not saying you took... No.
Business, you know?
No. I don't want you to think that I meant you're taking up time. That's not what I meant. What I'm saying is, another meeting to do that would take up a lot of time to try to decipher. By all means, I wouldn't mean you're taking up too much time tonight.
No, I understand that, but I just feel, I mean, I had spoke to you about this.
Correct.
And this comes up that there are no copies, and it just would have seemed
to me. On a public record request, everyone is entitled to a copy of the minutes.
Absolutely.
You don't have to even give your name when you want a copy of it. You just ask, I want a copy of the minutes.
All right.
You can get a copy of tonight's minutes if it's printed up tomorrow, but it has to be stamped draft.
Well, someone who has tried to get minutes of the meeting, they're not typed up that fast.
Right, but I'm just saying, as soon as they are typed up, as soon as she types them up, they don't have to be approved by the board. But if you get them, they have to be stamped draft so that you understand that there will be changes could be made in between.
Yeah.
And the changes should only be made with, like, wording or whatever. Cause
I appreciate it, but it just hit a sore spot there when I'm saying
And I understand
that. There are none now.
Right.
Had we thought
right.
About
well, all the records was we taken were, off the website this
We were so far behind
reason.
On those.
It
should have never got that far behind.
Yeah, I think, Mike, that we kind of t- touched a little bit on that. There was some extenuating circumstances, which I'll discuss with the prosecutor there. But yes, you should be entitled to whatever you want, absolutely.
But what to make it clarify, what Mike's asking is why we don't have them printed so that everyone here can read them before we say okay.
Right.
I don't think that's what he's saying.
No, I said, he has it exactly right. I feel like when we come in for this meeting at the beginning of the night, we picked up this sheet right here. They are going to, during this meeting, they're going to approve, or they were supposed to approve minutes from the last meeting. It's 2 weeks ago. Why things are fresh in your mind from 2 weeks ago, you can't proofread what was said. I'm not going to sit here and argue over a then, there. Yeah,
exactly. I was just using that as an example.
I know, I understand. Yeah. And you're probably right. It probably would happen. But at least it'd be fresh in everyone's mind who's sitting here. If you attend every 2 weeks, day in and day out, it would be fresh in your mind, and you would have some kind of an idea of where we're going with this.
Well, that's the reason we have this audio, too. So it's supposed to be, you know, things are supposed to be verified.
You can always get a copy of the audio, too.
And I realize that.
She handwrites the minutes, you see what I'm saying? Okay. Plus she has the audio. So in those particular cases, the audio and the hard copies, both, whatever happened to them, I have no idea.
I'm sorry, but I just have a hard time in my mind, both things disappearing. I mean, I'm just sorry.
Well, that's, I can't disagree with you on that. Okay, well, let's go ahead and move on, and I understand what you're saying, you know. Anyway, let's go ahead. Okay, here's some other old ones that were involved in that as well. February the 9th, regular meetings, that's 2017. April the 6th, regular meetings. April the 24th, regular meetings. May the 9th, special meeting. Those all need to be approved.
All of these, though, are you going to do it in blocks, or are you going to just go ahead and read them all off?
Well, I just read them all off, I guess.
Okay.
Do you want to read the resolution first?
Yep. Okay, June the 1st, regular meetings. June the 15th, special meeting. June the 15th, regular meeting. Excuse me, June the 29th, regular meeting. July the 5th, special meeting. July the 6th, special meeting. July 11th, special meeting. July the 13th, special meeting. July the 17th, special meeting. July the 27th, regular meetings. August 2nd, special meeting. August 3rd, quarterly meeting. August 10th, regular meetings. August 15th, special meeting. August 15th, special meeting. There was two meetings that day. August 16th, special meeting. And August 16th, special meeting.
Under what resolution?
And that would be resolution 17-273.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Don?
No.
But Mr. Solis, I would like to have a conversation with you.
Absolutely.
On those, okay? Thank you. Let's see, what else we got?
13, here? You. 13.
Okay.
Yes, you're up.
Okay, number 13, okay. I don't have, I think we had enough, but I don't have anything to much to add to that list. We're going to be trying to get, I'm going to try to get a meeting set up with Jessica and the trustees next week on some of her properties and try to get a little update on some of the properties we've been working on and so forth. And as I mentioned earlier, if any one of the residents wants to attend that 31st meeting here regarding the how they handle that, that'll be the Eureka Park.
I don't believe that's really a meeting, Ralph.
Well, it's
more
not really.
It's just the residents of 14.
No, no, I understand that, Don.
They're coming here to fill out
right,
their paperwork.
The paperwork and everything. But if you wanted to pop in, you can see how they're doing. It's, I guess, the point I'm trying to make. So, but now you will have your own meetings there as time goes on. But I just thought, you know, if you guys are curious and want to get a head start on it, maybe you might want to take a look at it. But anyway, we do elections coming up, and we're going to have 5 candidates this time. So we might start looking out for that. And the other thing, I think most of you know that local waste, we won't have a written contract with them, that, you know, for 2018, but they'll continue their service for the same rates. I don't know if you folks heard that. Yes, you have.
So, because we don't have a written contract, does that mean we don't have to do trash then, and we can just do what we want to?
You can.
Well, I understand I need to do something with my trash, but then I don't have to go with local waste.
Yeah, you don't necessarily have to, no ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
You know, if you want to shop around on rates and everything, that's about it. Are we going to try to, I'm just curious, Mr. Cook, the conversation over there, are you trying to not promote local waste, or I guess you...
Why would I say anything I'm not promoting local waste? Well, we'll give you that reason. I've told people that they're welcome to go and do whatever they want. Local waste is probably their best choice because it's the lowest rate, and they've guaranteed they will keep that rate for 2 years.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I just wondered.
If you're accusing me of something, let's get it out.
Well, no, I'm not accusing you. I'm just asking. It was something that I've heard, and I'm just asking. Nothing to get all sore about. I just don't understand why you wouldn't.
I understand if you're accusing me.
No, I'm not accusing you of anything, but it's something that I've heard, and I wanted to see how it comes. Well, and if you got, I guess as I say, if the shoe fits, you got to wear it. But anyway, my point is on local waste, why would you want to try to go and find other carriers for $25 a month?
Well, I mean, there's nothing stopping them from, okay, so the first quarter they're going to charge me $45, yay.
Right.
Next quarter they're going to charge me $50, yay.
No.
The man sat here and said, for the next 2 years, your rate will stay the same.
But a year. It was actually a year.
Yeah, we got it on tape, too.
He said he would hold through.
It was 1 year, and not only that, Janet, I'm going to get a memorandum of understanding written up and send to Lowell.
So, yes, sir.
The rates will be steady through 2018.
Okay, so for a year, I'm good with that, I
right,
guess.
But, right.
But I just think it's, why can't we not go into another contract?
We can. If I can jump in here,
well,
if I may.
I understand we can't
right,
go on to our old
right,
one. But what
okay,
can
well, if I can, okay. At the beginning of the year, any time that we want to be able to shop, the board can shop to see if we go out, it's called out to bid. You can't just say if local waste, we want to enter in a contract without giving all the other people an opportunity to bid. If local waste is 50 cents higher, but we like them, we could go with them. Generally, the bid system goes out around June from what Eric was telling us the last time. Now, if we wanted to join a consortium, like for instance with them, we can still work on that. And then when this contract's up, if the board votes on that and says, yes, we want to go with a consortium, where you're locked in, they have an additional 2 years on theirs. We can do that. It'll be up to the board members sitting up here to get that done.
So, Wouldn't that be to our best advantage to do something like
well,
that?
Well, yes.
Because okay. I remember him standing right there saying right. that it could go up, and it's not. There's nothing we can do about it.
No.
I mean, bottom line is, I mean, he can. They can raise it if we go month to month.
Look, can I just say something? Maybe I can assure you, if they go up, it's still going to be far less than what you'll pay with someone else. Take it from experience, I know. And
I like what you're okay. saying, because I know
can I, talk or?
I was in the middle of the intern at the beginning.
Okay.
I didn't.
Oh, my.
So, if I can, finish. I'll let me finish okay. what I was saying,
go
then
ahead.
You can have it.
Go shopping.
And as I was saying, I think that it would behoove of us not to look at going into a consortium because a lot of people like to guarantee that it was going to be there. The consortium, though, we would have to look at what exactly do they guarantee. Now, the bad thing is, if someone doesn't pay their trash bill and they never pay it, the township has to pay that. They're not going to just make us pay just one quarter. Then we have to turn around and put that on their taxes. We would have to look at that saying, seeing that contract and read it and make sure that we're not going to cause the township $200,000 of paying other people's trash. So that's on the consortium side. That doesn't mean that in June we can't go out to bid and see what kind of prices people are willing to give us and then lock into a contract. But Eric is guaranteeing in word, and he's going to get a memoranda. I can't say the word correctly. Thank you.
A memo.
Yes. He'll get a memo that guarantees us for 2 years that the price will stay where it's at.
One year.
So
one
for
year.
1 year, the price will stay the same. But if you, in this time period, if you want to go somewhere else after December 31st, the contract is up. And then you would be able to go where you want to go.
But also, didn't we do this whole, that he has to do local waste? So that we don't have like 50 trucks on the road
correct.
And it's supposed to help
correct.
The roads and whatever. So why do you as a board don't want to go ahead and try to get into another contract?
Well, we will. I mean, we...
Well, okay, let me just try to finish this up. I worked on it for 4 or 5 months. It's
right.
early year, as you well know.
Right, because we've talked trash many times.
And many times, and I had... through going through 3 jurisdictions, plus local waste and whatever else. Oh, SWACO. I got them to agree to a 2-year opt-in
right.
to Jackson, Grove City, and Urban Crest's contract. Okay. So I brought it back to the board. And you probably used to heard that.
Yeah, I mean,
and it basically was shot down for various reasons.
Right.
So at that point in time,
the reason that some of these bills aren't being paid or because
right.
the renters and
right, right.
it's not going to the homeowners
right.
and things like that. Why don't? It just seems to me that you need to find someone to be accountable. If it's the homeowner, then let it be the homeowner.
Well,
I mean, put it on their taxes.
Well,
I know the guy next to me.
He's
not happy that you guys socked him with grass cutting fees, but you know what? Sorry about your buck, dude.
So that was an option here. If you, I don't think you weren't able to make the last meeting there when we.
If it was a special meeting now, I can't do special meetings during the day.
So, as it ended up, there was like 2 or 3 options, and really this happened to be the best option, what we chose there. Let's put it that way.
Some of those homeowners that you talk about is rental property, probably doesn't even live in the state of Ohio.
We had homeowners that have come here that do have the rental property or whatever, they didn't even know about the bills.
Right.
And that's a whole other issue that needs to be addressed between whatever, but...
Yeah.
Trash and statues.
Yep. One thing that you'll find out the longer you're out, Janet, you bring up trash, I'm the original trash man around here. So I can tell you all about it. All righty, well, that's about all I had. John, do you have anything?
I have nothing.
Okay.
I was at a meeting the other day, and it was with was talking about Steve Shoney, the county, different developers, and they feel that we should raise our penalty for code violations for commercial for $1,000 per day to get people to businesses that are in code violations to come to the table and discuss their violations. This is what their penalty is here. I think we should give this to Mr. Brocious and let him look it over and follow their advice as to the $1,000 a day violation.
So those are commercials?
This is commercial. And like I say, I just got it the other day, got this here today, I think it was. And this is their recommendation to get people to come to the table.
Is this fire code or zoning?
Yeah. Pardon me?
What codes, what violations?
Well, we'd have to change the codes on it.
Zoning or is it fire codes or?
No, this will be any kind of violations, the code violations. The building violation, the wall is not built correct. They don't have a wall. They built a wall without getting a permit.
The building department.
Right, building department code violations.
You want me to send this on to
Brocious? Well, I'll send it to him.
Okay. Okay.
What are we currently paying now, or do we even have anything, Don? Do we currently have anything now?
Well, I just going to ask Chief if he knows what the...
If there's a building code violation out there and we catch them, let's say they didn't...
It's double or triple, yeah.
It's quadruple.
Quadruple.
And I believe it's... There's a set amount, and I don't know what this is.
There is one, but it's not very much. And right. This is why the city has raised theirs, and I think the county's probably going to do theirs because they're just businesses. They do these things, and nobody calls them to task, and $1,000 a day will make them start coming to the table.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, Mr. Fuss?
That's all I have.
Okay. All righty. Questions from the audience, Mike?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What we had on the agenda tonight.
Okay. Well, okay, sorry. Well, let's start with the elderly statesman, Barry, there. How about that?
Hey, watch your mouth.
Oh, sorry.
That must be his girlfriend.
It is. Yeah, what's on your mind there, Barry?
I just think we've had so much on the agenda tonight that I think it could have been split up into two, more than one meeting.
Well, it was hefty.
It was hefty. That was up to you, wasn't it?
Yeah. Enough to keep Amanda busy tonight, there, wasn't it? Oh, she's busy. Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
All right, so on behalf of some other residents, I noticed that, and I wasn't going to notice, the minutes that were already approved were taken down. That's my question number one as to why that
right.
was.
And I can answer that real quick for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So they should never go up, and I'm the one that said take them down. There was a mistake made on that. Until it goes across here, they should never go up. So just out of practice, I'm like, nope, take them off until it comes across here, and then that's not going to happen again. But go ahead.
Appreciate that clarification. And then number two, on the bills that you guys approved, the check number stopped at 43,969, but then bills were approved after that tonight, such as the...
Unless I read it wrong.
The Cincinnati...
Well, that wasn't a bill. That Cincinnati for $46,000, that is just, we're holding the money until that project was done because it was paid with insurance money. And then once it's deemed that it's finished, then that's released.
That was actually an insurance claim.
And it wasn't a bill.
Right.
What happens when your property burns or whatever in a township?
Yeah.
There's a resolution passed, and it's also an ORC can be in that. That the insurance, say it's $1 million house or $200,000 house that burns down, the insurance will keep, I think it's 15% of the money, and send it to the township. If those people decide not to repair the house and take the money and run, then the township can take that 15% and clear that down and put the ground down to grass, and take care of it. Okay. If those people repair the house or tear it down and put it to grass, and they prove this, then they get the money back. And that's what the $46,000 was. There was a large industrial fire down off Stimmel Road. And the guy, I'm not sure, but I don't think he rebuilt, but he has cleaned up the mess. And everything's clear and looks good. So we owe them back what they gave, what the insurance company gave us.
Basically, hold the money in escrow is what you do. Okay, does that answer your question?
Yeah,
let's
make a motion to adjourn.
Okay, who's next, Mike?
We can do this in 5 minutes or less. There was a special meeting on Wednesday. You remember?
Yeah, I do.
Don, you, Don, I'm sorry.
Teresa.
The police chief and another lady.
Right.
And me.
Okay.
Everybody in agreement?
Yeah.
That's who was there?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember.
I'm sorry?
I'm just kidding.
Okay. See, this is so late at night.
That's a good
what lady. I want to do is I want to ask you, can I put something out there tonight that we have to talk about what transpired at that particular meeting, and at the same time, I need to know that the minutes from that meeting are intact,
yeah,
and that she has them.
Yes.
Yeah, well, let's see.
If you remember how the meeting ended, we weren't able to finish. You asked to finish up. You asked to stop the meeting.
Oh, yeah,
to finish
yeah.
up with the police chief.
We had a back-to-back meeting. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
You asked me to stick around so we could finish our meeting.
Right.
And she had asked you, she was sitting on this side of the table at that time, she had asked you how does she put that into the minutes. Do you remember that young lady or not?
Well, what we should have done.
I've been so many meetings.
Okay,
go ahead. Yeah.
I just feel stuff came out at that meeting that the public needs to be abreast of.
Well, that would have been...
Because after we spoke with the chief and he got done, the other young lady that's not here tonight, I believe she said at that meeting she was going on vacation.
Lisa?
Yeah.
The fiscal officer.
She needed to speak to the three of you, and she said the police chief needed to be here, but no one else could be here. And then I asked you guys point blank, do I need to stick around or are we all done? You said we were all done, so I left. The thing I'm trying to get to, at that point in time, the conversation was about money. Mm-hmm. And I was hoping it was going to come out tonight that we've made a big procedure change in the way you do money, or for some reason something changed about the money. And then at one point in time I asked a question about, was all the money accounted for the people of the township?
Right.
And I was told yes during the meeting, but then when it ended and we were switching over to the chief, I was given two different figures of either $67 or $73 difference, and I was told I was going to be told what that is.
Okay.
Are we on the same page?
Yeah, I remember this.
So you remember this conversation?
Yes, yes.
So I know it's late. I'm not trying to put anything out there and run away from it or something, but that's the same thing that I told you that day. It doesn't matter if it's $1.
Okay.
$1 needs to be accounted for.
I agree.
I got your paper today. I looked this over 100 times. I've never seen anything on here about any discrepancy of funds anywhere. Never said anything.
Okay.
I believe you said it was $67. I believe you said it was $73. Now, I'm not positive.
I don't know what it was. I think I heard it was $87.
Okay. If people are sitting thinking that that's a piddly amount of money,
it's not
here past 9 o'clock. I'm sorry. For me, it's just we're gonna have another mini room on our hands before it all said.
Okay. So let me explain what happened, and I'll just get everyone up there. I mean, I'm just gonna go over what I went over before. There was a lot of money that was kept on premise that I wasn't aware of. Past employee was hanging on to it, and then it never did get deposited. After she left, we had this money. We didn't know for sure the procedures and et cetera. So long story short, I talked to the auditor, I almost said the prosecutor, the auditor's office, and they gave me the procedures in which, you know, we're supposed to be depositing that money versus it going over to Lisa and for her to deposit it. So there were some checks that were like 4 months old. Everything was put together. It was counted. And we had one figure, and then when it went over to the other department, there was another figure, and then we started going back through, and everyone, we had all the everything written down. We videoed when we counted everything so that we knew that everything, when it left here, everything was right. So when it came back, we couldn't figure out, okay, are we missing a check, or was there a duplicate? And it was, since it was, there was just no real way to know for sure exactly what happened because of the procedures we didn't have in place like we do now to make sure that that didn't happen. So I don't know 100% sure if it was a clerical error that we made or if it was actually short. I can't swear and say you were off by this much money. Moving forward, we're definitely we have it in place that we know exactly forms to fill out every day, monies that get deposited, the deposit slip for that money each day, so that it's not ran like a lemonade stand.
So
at this point, I have no answer.
Is just the amount of money that's gone. Or it's either, is it over or short?
Well, in one case, we were over some. But then when you went back and said, no, you got to take that credit out and you got to do this, and that's not correct, then it was short. So I don't know.
I understand, and I'm not buying. I want everybody to know by no means am I questioning anybody's integrity up here. But at some point in time, should that not be noted somewhere?
It was noted. Was it in the minute? I mean, was did we?
We never finished the meeting.
We didn't specifically say. Nobody really knew the specific amount, but it is documented on paper where there was money missing, or which. From where the amount was missing.
In her minutes? Is that what you're saying, ma'am?
No. It's documented on the sheets that were filled out by whoever was here at the time that those funds were taken in. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I suppose. I suppose the people whose money it is doesn't have anything to... I guess we don't see. I mean, that's what... I guess I'm going to just take a closer look at this, but I thought that's what this was all about.
Well...
But at some point in time, did we not see...
Okay. Well, let's maybe I can help you a little bit on that. If there's, you know, a question of some missing money or something like that, Mike, internally, you know, you may have it noted and that kind of thing. But one thing I don't want to do is make accusations. You know, that someone. But you understand what I'm saying. Until we try to get a balance and everything. That's the best way I know to explain it.
We have worked with our chief. He was there to go through stuff with us, so it's not as if we just said, oh, well.
Relative to the, when they come to the table, those two women did, what had happened is I guess it's all right to tell. If I'm wrong, Nick can tell me, but we had paid a vendor a pretty hefty check. There was like $6,000 and it was mailed to the vendor to pay an invoice that the township owed. Well, apparently someone had gotten a hold of the check somewhere or other
out of the mail
and fraudulently cashed that check. So that's what these women were telling me.
Oh, I wasn't.
So what they are telling us, what we did is we had, per protocol, had the police chief make up a police report and everything, and then turn it into the Franklin County Detectives Bureau. And I think, Mr. Solis, you can correct me if that's the proper way to handle something like that. And we actually had proof where this fellow had cashed the check. So
fellow or woman, I don't know.
Or woman or somebody.
It's under investigation.
But we turned it over to the county's investigators.
Fraud department.
Yeah, with the detective bureau.
That's correct.
Absolutely.
Okay. So that will answer your question on what we were talking about there. So, but, you know, if there's any discrepancies on anything, they're taken seriously for sure. And I want you to feel comfortable with that, okay?
Yep, the only other thing I'll say is you asked me to sign that sheet if I was going to speak.
Yeah, and I apologize, I forgot about it.
No, I just, you know, you told me that you were...
That was after, well, I passed the one around to the, you know, to the... Yeah. Okay, is there anything further, anyone else need anything? Alrighty, if nothing else further, then I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second that.
John?
Thank you.
Ralph?
Thanks, everybody, for coming out, yes.
Ralph, yeah, and Don?
Yeah.
Hey, I was going to ask both of you guys a question real quick. So,
do you want to
I just want to confirm, so for the jet, did you knew that that one agreement wasn't here?
You did.
You know why that wasn't like said though?
Did I give you my card? I'm not there. Yeah, you did, actually. Yeah, let me...
Because when it was always talked, it talked like...
Yeah, there's
like,
somebody that's not conferred something with Harold Landers and all that. There's some things there, but I kind of probably need to fill you in on a few things.
Yeah, definitely. I do want to talk.
Okay.
You give me a call. We'll borrow for the part of next week. We'll sit down and talk.
I think I'm going to be busy tomorrow. Maybe I'll call you like Monday or something.
Monday or Tuesday.
Be in the office.
Fair notice. I go to the Greek first.
She even did all the work this time to organize National Night Out. My wife and I came by, and it was a wonderful event. But I think Juanita shows what it really takes to just be a part of the community, willing to give, not expect anything back in return. But for that, we have a certificate for you. Now, we also have a letter that will be documenting all of her efforts. Her picture is going to sit outside of my office for the month, and then everybody coming and going will get to read about Juanita and see her picture, and we'd like to just show that to everybody in the community. In December, you and whoever you want to invite will be invited to a dinner that we'll have for everybody that's been a star all year long. So again, I'd like to really give you a round of applause. You know how much fun this has been to find people, and there are people all around the county that do wonderful things. And we're getting to the point where we have so many, it's hard to only recognize one a month. But when I found out about all your efforts here at National Night Out, I was completely taken back. And I just like to really, really thank you for your efforts. So thank you so much.